This is PFW in progress.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Oh, I love your suits. You must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat. And a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred.
Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy. And Andy?
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I saw that, you son of a bitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Sheriff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
Am I?
And welcome to PFW in progress. Did I scare you, Andy?
You did. I wasn't ready.
No. Okay. You ready now?
I am.
All right. And welcome to PFW in progress. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Fred Kirsch, Gary in the booth. We're here. It's Wednesday, noontime Eastern, and another edition of PFW in progress. And let's start with a vote. Up or down? Does this thing get passed? The CBA extension?
Yes.
Yes, Andy says.
I'll stick with fiction.
You'll stick with yes?
I'm guaranteed it will be done by Saturday, so I would assume he'll guarantee it will be done by today.
But I haven't been right about this thing yet, so
Paul?
He's saying yes isn't good.
I'll say yes, but not in the way that it should be getting.
Okay, and I'll say yes, but that means that the Patriots are really going to be
lose.
Taking it on the chin.
We're going to lose.
Why?
Why?
Because they're going to have to share the revenue.
Yeah.
We're going to be sharing revenue that other teams don't even have.
I got no problem with that.
You don't have any problem with that. You're a complete communist socialist.
For the good of the league.
I'm
a communist.
I don't think it's for the good of the league.
For the good of the league when a team like Buffalo can just not do anything and make the same amount of money as a team that works their
butt off? Because if you want 32 teams, you're going to have some of those teams.
Well, maybe that's not a place where a team should be anymore.
Okay, so get rid of the team in Buffalo.
But you can't.
Put them in a different market.
So, Fred, let me ask you.
He's going to die soon. You can move it.
Let me ask you, because I really don't know. What was different in the 90s in Buffalo than now? They just had better players?
I think the economy was better there. I think this whole new stadium thing wasn't going on. Teams weren't, you know, building stadiums.
Since the early 90s, there has to be 15 to 20 new stadiums,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the main thing that's changed the economy scales for between these
luxury
teams.
Luxury boxes,
club seats. Some teams have, you know, personal seat licenses.
So why can't Buffalo get a new stadium? Is there a reason why, or they just don't want to?
Technically, they could, but it'd be a tough. Right. You know, I admit it'd be tough there. I mean, they don't have the corporate base that the Patriots had. You know, everyone thinks that the Patriots have been sold out since '94, which is true. But when they built this stadium. If it hadn't been for the personal, not the personal seat license, but I'm sorry, the premium seats in the luxury boxes, that's really what was the financing that was, allowed Kraft to build the stadium. But that wasn't an easy sell. Selling those premium seats were tough. I mean, we're right up to the beginning of that first season in Open, and probably it wasn't sold out at that point. You know, selling those premium seats was tough, even in, you know, a big market like New England. So, you know, I can understand there just isn't the potential in some places for teams to make the same amount of money in other places. But what's killing it is the insistence on the players that revenue be included. If that revenue wasn't included to force the cap to be bigger, I don't think the small markets would care as much. Now, you get into the whole thing about, those big markets have more to spend on cash over cap, which is the new thing now, the signing bonuses that don't really count against this year's cap.
But can you explain that to me, why that's an issue? Because the way I look at it, it goes on the cap at some point. You have to deal with that money at some point.
Right.
So over the course of a 10-year span, all the teams are basically going to spend the same amount of money if they go to the cap.
Right.
So why is it such an issue?
And that's an excellent point. And I think the Crafts are – completely, they hate this whole cash over cap thing, precisely for what you say. But the other teams will say, eventually every team will end up spending the same. Because,
right.
But as long as the CBA keeps getting extended, those teams will always be able to prorate and readjust and always be able to spend more in a given year than a team that doesn't have the same amount of money. Let's face it. When
But they only to a certain point. You are limited by event, or you get in trouble like the Tennessee Titans or teams that went too far ahead and then had to rein it in for 2 years.
Went too far ahead. But
it's okay. Everybody be smart. You should know how much you can spend to stay under the cap.
But there is no zero accounting year, zero sum accounting year. In other words, like what you're saying, it does catch up to some teams when they find that the money that was prorated in the past has caught up to them,
right,
and now they're ahead, they're above the cap, you know. But there's always a way to get around that,
right,
if they're smart.
But they are.
But what I'm saying is there is no zero sum year where, you know what, at this year you can't extend any more contracts. This is it. Every, you know, and what I'm thinking of is like every fifth or sixth year, there's a year where that's it. Everything catches up, and you can't take restructure a person's contract. You know, that's it. And everyone starts from zero at those intervals. And that would do what you're saying. It would allow those teams that haven't been able to give out the big signing bonuses, to catch up, and everyone would start on an even playing field. But that really never happens.
Does it matter?
Daniel Snyder has more money.
But he can't spend beyond the cap.
Yes, he can. As long as it
catches up with him sooner or later.
I don't think it's a competitive advantage.
And he cuts Bruce Smith. You got to cut all these guys that you signed.
Right, but in a given season, he can theoretically have an advantage,
and it'll catch up with him. It's
a
choice. Do you spend it all this year, or do you spend it divided by four over the next four years?
And that's why I think teams like the Crafts are like, you know, don't even talk about cash over. That's a ridiculous.
I think
argument.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
But that's
manage your books.
Manage your books,
and you won't have a problem.
That's another thing the low revenue teams are saying is that if you can spend more in a given season than we can.
Well, if you want to say that a low revenue team couldn't sign Peyton Manning because they simply didn't have $30 million in cash to write a check to him, that's something different. But cash over cap in general,
ironically, one of the low revenue teams.
If you're telling me if some, you know, Lamar Hunt says I can't sign Larry Johnson when he becomes a free agent because I literally cannot write the paycheck on a signing bonus, okay, that's one thing. But in general, whatever you spend beyond the cap in bonuses goes on the cap in the future.
That's
you can
true.
Never erase it.
That's
Once
true.
It's out there, it's on the cap somewhere.
That is absolutely true.
So manage your books properly, and you don't have a problem. I think that's dumb.
That's why, again, I think it's the whole cash over cap thing is a
stupid.
Ridiculous argument.
Okay.
I agree.
At least we agree on that.
But they're making it. They're making it. That's another thing. That
Who's they? The lower,
the low revenue,
the low revenue teams.
You know?
That's stupid. I cut
and
my ties
not,
with them.
They're not budging, right, Fred? The lower revenue teams aren't budging on this.
It sounds like it. It sounds like they've got, you know, 12 guys or so down there that no matter what, they're not going to budge. And
that's why I made the comment that I think it's going to get done, but it's not going to necessarily be the way it should be, because I think the low revenue teams are going to win. I don't think this whole competitive balance thing, I don't think the cash over cap is a competitive advantage.
No.
I mean, you
and
can throw
some people try to win.
Andy said it perfectly. At some point, you have to be in compliance with the cap. So if you choose to be way over the cap 1 year, in theory,
right,
you know, with your cash over cap, you're not going to be able to be up to the cap the following year.
Right, like the Ravens.
Because you're going to have all these guys that you signed the previous year that still have substantial cap hits the next year, so you're not going to be able to spend it the way you want to on the other
right.
50 guys on your roster.
Now, the other thing, and I'm not sure that the low-revenue teams are including this in the cash over cap argument, but they're saying if you have more cash, you can pay your coaches more. You can pay your trainers more. You can buy better equipment. You can do all these
maybe
things.
Hire a scouting department?
Yeah, you can do
like
all
that. That doesn't go on the cap.
But it's cash.
But it's money that you have.
It's money that you
have
available because of all these other revenues that you have that we don't. And so they're factoring
So now they want to cap everything?
Yeah. So, well, that's the whole thing about total football revenues. And I'm telling you, it's not going to be long before a coach's salary is part of the cap.
You know, Fred and I have been looking hard at the PFW roster. Some fat that might need to be trimmed
off.
You
are getting kind of old.
Well, I'm telling you, anyone that works for a football organization should really look at the quote that Jerry Jones said yesterday and think twice about it. Because basically what he said is, you know, if this thing goes through as it is, we're going to really have to look at some of our expenses and our costs. And he's not talking about players. That's just
talking about the newspaper.
He's talking about everything. Let's talk about how we do business.
Great. This was sold to me as a job that, you know,
stable.
It's a nice stable position.
I was going to say, be out in the worried? Street. You know, all this stuff happened since Tom has been here too. By the way, Mr. Guarantee.
You know, so
his black cloud is starting to come over the whole PFW family.
Tom, how long does it take you to think these up?
Now, I think what this is going to do, it's going to tempt, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything before they do it, but I think it's going to tempt a lot of teams to start doing some real crazy bookkeeping, starting other companies that do things, mm-hmm. you know, and then the team allows.
In other words, it's going to turn into the mob.
Well, I,
where they have a construction
lot of people
company.
That's the case now.
We're in waste management.
Waste management.
You know, but you start another company, and that company does a newspaper for the Patriots, and somehow the money's getting back in the pocket of
paper?
The owner, but it's not a Patriots newspaper.
Right.
You know, now
that's assuming nobody does that now, too.
What do you have, school
right.
paper?
But.
I love that one.
I think the nine owners should just stay strong, let this thing go, have an uncapped 07, and go, you know. What do they care?
Yeah,
if it's
then,
an uncapped 07.
Then you might not have a league in 08.
Well, then the lower revenue owners are going to have to, they're the ones that are going to have to budge.
Well, not necessarily.
Well,
they're the ones that are going to lose the money.
They're the ones.
Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder have
actually,
the
high revenue owners are going to lose more money because they make more in any given year.
The way the CBA is right now, and the way it's, you know, created the uncapped year and the rules around the Patriots would actually be okay.
Now, I disagree with you, what you just said, Andy, because if you want to take the low-revenue teams at face value and believe that they're telling the truth, everybody has a fixed amount of revenue that they make from the league. Mm-hmm. That's all the same across the board.
Right.
They're claiming that the big-money teams make all their money on other things. Well, some of those other things they'll continue to be able to make money at,
but
whereas the low-revenue teams won't be able to make any money. They're the ones that will be in much more dire
straits.
They're going to
make the money on football. I mean, it's still total football revenues.
Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody makes the money on football.
No,
right?
But total football revenues is football-related revenue.
But some of the stuff that they can make, that the higher-revenue teams have the money just for liquid capital, I mean, just the money that they make, they'll still be able to make, whereas the low-revenue teams claim they can't make any money because there's no business in their area, even though
right.
Cincinnati is loaded with Fortune 500 companies. They can't make any money there because
right.
we choose to name the stadium after
the big,
our father.
The big market team, the high-revenue teams will lose more.
I don't think they would.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
So I think the bulk
I
of
think
it
you're
still
talking
comes
about
from
a fixed,
football.
I think you're talking about... see, I think that you can make an argument either way on that. I think that
Wait,
some,
good.
Of, the,
I
some
mean,
of the stuff they're going to continue to be able to make money at.
Some. I don't think. I think
Whereas
the
low-revenue team's not
come...
going to be able to make any money outside of football because they choose not to.
Right. But if they lose $3 and the Patriots lose $10 every day, the Patriots are losing out on more money.
See, I think that there is... I think
also,
everybody is losing
are also
the same
making
amount.
More money in other things, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I think
I don't know
losing
what other...
the same amount of money from the football... But the smart guys like Jerry Jones,
but
and
they're not.
Snyder,
they're losing luxury boxes and club seats that those guys claim that
but
they're
a lot
not
of
making
a lot
money
of people are going to be losing that. Not just the big money owners. There's a lot of small money guys that have that stuff. I'm talking about the other ways that they make money. They can still be able. They're still going to be able to make money with.
But that's not included in total football revenue. Total football
what
revenue
about,
is football.
No, local radio.
Yeah, you if know? There's no games, they're not making it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If there's no games,
if there's
at all.
No games, then. The Patriots' $300 million local radio contract is worth more than the $100 million that the Bengals are losing. They're losing $200 million more.
Business.
Yeah, everyone's losing.
Right. But the teams that make more when there are games are losing more
worse.
Money.
I think it's a lot worse.
For example, if you and I get
teams.
Fired tomorrow,
yeah, I know.
I'm guessing you're losing more money than I'm losing because you make more on a daily basis than I do.
But Andy, it's all relative. I mean, you know, if we both lose our jobs, you and me, we both lose our houses.
True.
So it doesn't matter.
True.
It doesn't. It, you know. It doesn't really matter.
But in a way, you have more
that's
to lose.
Point.
Because you have
no,
an in-ground.
See, I don't look at it that way.
I lose
think
my house and you lose your house.
I
yeah,
think
your
a
house
like
has
Robert
an in-ground
Kraft.
Pool and a Bose surround sound system.
A guy like Robert Kraft.
I still don't have a place.
Here's
to
the thing. He might be losing more in your total football thing, and I agree with you. I think you're right about that. But Robert Kraft still has this property that he can make money off of that these other guys don't.
Well,
so they can't make any money without football. Kraft can't.
I think then it goes to Fred's thing because I don't think he makes enough to support the facility, well, and then he loses the facility.
In any
you're
economy,
talking about in a case of a permanent, you know, football's never coming
extended,
back. That's not going to happen.
An extended one.
In any,
what's extended?
In any economy.
5 years? Because that's what it would take for them
I'm
to
talking,
feel it.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. They could go on. They have a lot of ways
I
to make
I thought he
money.
Had a large
this
mortgage
is,
on this place.
This is all going to change.
Doesn't he pay it every month like I do?
They might as well just do it now, because now they got 9 owners. In 10 years, they're going to have 15 or 16 owners who believe in this, because the new age owners, are the more they get, the more are going to be siding. It used to be like 1 or 2 owners. Now they got 9.
Well,
it's just going to keep growing and growing.
I'm not sure about that.
Why? Because
more, there's only going to be, I don't know what they are, but there's only there. X number of markets that can support that much.
I don't think it has nearly as much to do with market size as
Bitcoin.
I found out today that Charlotte is one of these. I mean, that's not a huge market. It's one of the richest owners. He creates a lot of all this money.
It's like one of the banking capitals of the country. There's a ton of money there.
So why not Cincinnati then?
Because I don't know what's in Cincinnati.
With all these Fortune 500 companies.
But I can tell you why not Buffalo.
Why?
Because I've been to Buffalo.
Well, why?
Because there's nothing there.
What do you see in Buffalo that you don't? What don't you see in Buffalo? You see
a new bank opening up every week in.
But I can
nothing in
so
Buffalo.
So on your Saturday nights at the second biggest city in Buffalo, you haven't seen banks open up. We don't stay in Buffalo.
I just don't think there's anything in Buffalo. From everything I've read, there's nothing in Buffalo.
Anchor Bar Park.
There's no companies.
There isn't as.
For all I know, the Anchor Bar is the biggest company in Buffalo.
The Billy Ogden's Club seats. Yes, there aren't. There isn't as much in Buffalo as New York or Boston, but cost of doing business isn't as much in Buffalo.
And it gets back to my old argument. I want to know how much money there is to be made in every market.
Right, but how do you gauge that? I mean,
I hire a smart guy from Harvard to tell me.
Market analysts. You know, that's what they do before they offer an expansion team.
An apples-to-apples comparison might be just TV market. Whatever your TV market is, we do a percentage, and that's what you should be able to make.
Well, I don't care how they come to the number. I'm not smart enough to come to the number. But I know, like, when I buy a house, the bank tells me how much I'm allowed to spend on that house because they know how much that house is worth. Well, I want to know how much a market is worth.
Okay.
Give me a number.
No, I mean, that's fair.
It's the same old thing. And
it's real
supposed
to be all these geniuses every
real
year. Real
estate is a perfect example, too, because how many times do you see a house and you look at it and you say, wow, that's a really nice house, but it's in, you know, somewhere in central or western Mass and it's worth $200,000, whereas the same house, you know, in Foxborough might be worth $500,000.
Right.
Same exact house.
And the bank makes you get a...
Why is that?
Finds out the value of the house because they only let you spend a certain value because they know what the value is, and if you screw up your mortgage, they want to be able to collect their money.
So I don't see it being that complicated a thing. Now,
it's complicated for us, but a guy with a computer and a calculator and some numbers should figure it out.
I'm not saying it's not that complicated to figure it out.
But
because that's someone's job.
Right.
I'm saying it's not the concept of figuring out how an area can maximize its potential.
And
I don't think it's that complicated.
They can include everything. They can include that the guy invested $300 million in his own stadium. Okay, so he has a debt. So that plays in there somehow.
Well, Tom mentioned something that I think should be addressed in that more and more of these teams will eventually get these things anyway, like new stadiums and so on, and so what? But that may not be the case, Tom. And the reason when the Crafts bought this team in 94, one of the things they knew they had to do in order to compete eventually was to get a new stadium. They had to get a new stadium. So, you know, for the next 6 years or so, they went on this quest to get one done. They finally did. It opened up in 2001. But they knew they had to get a new stadium to compete with those other teams that were starting to make those revenues. If everything changes, if the landscape changes where now everything you make is shared 32 ways, what is the incentive for another team to say, I have to get a new stadium? There isn't.
Yeah. Well, but it's not going to be shared equally. It shouldn't be. That's dumb.
I don't know.
You're just sharing portions, percentages.
Well, it's total football revenue. I don't know how they're going to do it, but, you know, I'm not making as much as I could.
I haven't seen any of the proposals, the last proposals, but based on what we're reading, there's no percentages involved.
Well, there should be. That's dumb. Now I'm jumping ship again.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if the Crafts make an extra $100 million here and the Jets make an extra $300 million and the Bengals make $1 million, it shouldn't all go into a pot. It should be percentages.
I look at it like this.
But that's not how it works with TV.
That stuff has been going on.
For TV.
How long are these things
should be shared?
How long have these things been an issue? You know, like it's been the designated gross revenue for 12 years, 93, almost 13 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So teams have been able to make what they could make on their own for the better part of a decade at least.
Right?
How has the competitive balance in the league been disrupted?
Everyone thinks it's great.
All of a sudden, if we continue this, the competitive balance in the league is going to go to pot. I don't buy that. I just don't. I look at baseball, and everybody talks about how baseball is the end of the world, but I think that there are small market teams that compete, and there are small market teams that can't compete. It's the same in any business. If you know what you're doing,
if you know what
you can do it.
But the players are asking for it to be included. That's the change.
That's fine. I don't think the big market owners have any problem with sharing it with the players. They have a problem with sharing it with the other owners.
No, but the small market teams are saying if the cap increases with those added revenues, I can't compete.
I understand, and I don't buy that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's any disruption to competitive balance. Manage your own team.
If you don't believe them, that's one thing.
That's what I'm saying. I don't buy this. I just said the whole thing. I don't buy this whole argument.
Andy,
I don't think that you can. Why can you compete at $125 million, but I can't compete at $120 million or $150 million? It's ridiculous.
Oh, but as Fred says,
it's lazy owners that want something for nothing.
Tens and ten million year by year.
Andy, on Friday, I just showed you the Dallas Cowboys draft from 1996 to 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say they could spend all the money in the world they want. If they draft like that, you ain't winning. You know what I mean? So like Paul says, if you're smart, if you have good football people, you're smart, and you try to win, I think you can win in any kind of environment.
I don't think it's an accident that the Oakland A's and the Minnesota Twins can compete every year, but the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays can't. I don't think that's an accident.
There's no question the smarter guy is going to succeed in anything, but there are limitations
financially. It's a cop-out crutch. We can't, the competitive balance, we can't compete. I think it's a crutch.
Oh, I don't.
It's a total crutch. I think that baseball, I think that's the most overblown thing in the world, that the majority of baseball teams start spring training without a chance to win. I think that's a gross exaggeration.
I really think the union is really getting ahead of themselves going for this whole total football revenue thing because, you know, to say that, well, the owners are making all this money, we're really the ones making it for them, but they're keeping it. It's not absolutely true. I mean, let's take, for example, just the New England Patriots. Patriots are one of the high-revenue teams. They make a lot of money off parking. They make a lot of money off the premium seats. They make a lot of money off things. Local radio, for example, gives them more money to spend. Okay? The fact is, those owners like Kraft, that's the reason why players can come here and get three meals a day, no matter what day of the week it is, what time of the year it is. It's the reason why they get the state-of-the-art weight room. It's the reason why they get all this new stuff. It's being put back into the facility. And, yeah, okay, now a low-revenue team can say, well, we can't do that. But why should the players care about that? This is going, you know, another thing is player benefits. The player benefits package is pretty damn good in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It used to stink. Mm-hmm. It's very good now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you stay in the league 4 or 5 years, you got a pretty good pension coming to you.
Not to mention they double your 401k contribution.
You know, so, you know, there's a lot of things that all this stuff has given the players, and I think that they might be being a little greedy right now, you know. So
and there's little question that both sides are being greedy.
Yeah,
that's how these work.
I would say both sides are being greedy, but I agree with that. And you know, and Boyd just wrote a good piece on that on Sunday about the players, you know, for the 4% that they're fighting for, you know, the 56 to 60.
Comes out to what, $300 a guy or something?
Well, it's a lot of money, but it's not necessarily worth – they have it pretty good, in other words. And Don Davis, I mean, you guys read the stuff that Don Davis said to me the other day. And I asked him specifically, I said, do you have a read as to how everybody feels about this? And he said, I get the feeling that the majority feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That they feel like they have it pretty good. The pie is getting bigger all the time, and our piece of the pie is getting bigger, and our benefits are excellent. Pension, you know, 401k, and all the stuff that was important to us. Talking to Steve Diossi about this a couple of weeks ago, when they first put the CBA in, they sent out questionnaires like Upshaw and his henchmen. They sent out questionnaires as to what they thought was important to the players, what kind of things. And basically, they were figuring that a lot of players would say we need to fight for guaranteed contracts. Well, some people did do that, but the majority, everything that they got back was feedback on benefits, pension. We need to be taken care of, and we talk about this all the time. How many times we see guys that retired? And Tom was just talking about Earl Campbell. He can't even walk now. You know, and how many guys that you see that played professional football for at least 4 or 5 years that don't walk with a limp?
Sure.
I can't even think of one.
Yep.
You know, they either had hip replacement surgery or they can't walk. You know? So football is a tough game. They deserve to have a little something to take care of them after they're done playing. And evidently they did that in this recent CBA.
Oh. So another thing I want to talk about is Borges' article. I think it was from Monday or Tuesday. Comparing Kraft to Wellington Mara,
mm-hmm.
and that this is a time where Kraft could
be the hero,
the next Mara. And
Tremendous guilt trip he laid out there.
Well, I think that, but I also think it's a little bit unfair. I don't think it's comparing apples to apples.
I don't think it's even close.
Because back then, there was no national network contract. It was a new thing. And Mara, it really was common sense. Mara looked at it, and even though he was in New York and could make more money than any team if he was separate, together he knew he'd make more money than he could on his own.
Right.
So, you know,
this is clearly going to cost Kraft money.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a sacrifice maybe, but the risk
he knew
was
in the long run he'd end up making more money.
And you can make the argument that it made the league.
Yeah.
You know, if someone was saying this is going to make or break the league, I think that's a stretch.
Yeah. So
right now, if Kraft submits to his from his beliefs and signs this for the quote unquote good of the league isn't going anywhere. The league is pretty good. I mean, I think we can all agree
on
that.
I mean, what if they don't reach an agreement?
They'll reach something sooner or later.
What happens every time? So I mean, let's just say the worst case scenario. There's a strike in 2008 or a lockout in 2008. You think they're not going to overcome that? How do they overcome the last
again,
two?
It gets back to how long you can go.
Everybody can overcome it.
There's
can.
Too much money
but,
in football
but Andy,
right
let's
now.
Just say for argument's sake, even worst case scenario, like D-Day, those players never are part of this league again. It'll recycle. I mean, the players will replace them.
Maybe.
And eventually, you won't think of them as replacement players anymore because they'll just be the players.
Maybe.
And the league isn't going to go anywhere permanently. I mean, baseball.
Yeah,
baseball continuously tries to shoot itself in the foot. No matter what they try to do to themselves, the game overcomes all.
That's
the same thing that's going to happen with football.
Fans root for the uniform. People don't go to Tom Brady's house and sit down and talk to him. As much as they think they love Tom Brady, they only love him because he throws touchdown passes for the New England Patriots and no other reason. So if they get someone else in here who does the same thing, that's
but at
all
what
that matters.
Point? Does it? What's the critical point?
Well,
for an owner, for example, a player, if he gets fired, you know, he may lose his house or whatever, but he doesn't have anything in the stake in the league, in the stadium, in the, you know, if you, I don't know how contracts work, but do they have to pay money back to the network if there's not a season and this and that and, you know, early termination clauses and, you know, it seems like the owners on that end, if there's no games, that they have more to lose in a short term, over a month, over 2 months, if the season gets killed, whereas a player is just out of a job. But players are out of jobs every day.
Well, perhaps, but most
not
of these
Tom Brady.
Not
all
the
players.
Football teams. You know, I don't know.
What's Tom Brady going to lose if there's no season?
Tom Brady
so
will be okay,
the paycheck
but the vast majority of players don't make what Tom Brady makes.
Right. But I just think they have less to lose.
Think about everyone else.
I don't see that.
Everybody has a lot to lose.
Everybody has a lot to lose, but I don't see how the players have less to lose than the owners do.
I think Robert Kraft could lose a stadium, could lose another business trying to keep this business.
I don't want to be stereotypical in this situation, but you don't think that a multimillionaire businessman is better equipped to deal with losing one aspect of his fortune than a football player?
$1 billion part of his fortune? I don't know.
I mean, he had to have something that got him the $1 billion to purchase that team in the first place.
I understand that, but supposedly he put down $350 million of his own money.
But again, you're operating under the premise that football is never going to be played in Gillette Stadium again if there's a lockout in 2008.
No, I'm operating
He'll
under
find
the
a way to put a team in that stadium.
On a $300 million mortgage,
maybe
he's got a large payment to make every month.
And you think that that's comparable to a football player who's only done, I mean,
probably
again, stereotyping here, but only really done, all he's really done his whole life is play football, and now you're taking away his lone meal ticket, and you think that that's the same thing?
And I think he goes and gets a normal job.
Doing what?
Probably has
working
anything.
At the car wash?
UPS. Yes. Yeah, well, working at UPS.
And if that's not going to be more damaging to him than it is to the business owner, I don't understand how you can look at it that way.
I just don't see
Robert
what he
Kraft
loses.
Still has IFP
Kraft
to fall back
has
on.
Has an insurance policy with Lloyd's of London against work stoppages.
That's
that he
possible.
Probably pays $5 million a year for.
That's
but
possible.
But it's worth it because he never has to worry if, you know, if he loses
That's possible.
The business,
maybe you know? That's true.
That's smart businessman would do that.
And I realize how ridiculously stereotypical I'm sounding here, and I do understand. I'm sure there's plenty of players out there that have planned for the future and have themselves set up, but I'm going to say, you know, cautiously here that a larger percentage of guys out there never, ever dreamed there'll be a day where they're not playing football.
I agree.
And they're totally not prepared for that day.
See, I think there's some of those, and I think those are in trouble no matter what, because eventually they get cut or retire.
Sure.
Then I think there's an Anthony Pleasant who is fine no matter what, because he was a smart guy and knew, wait a minute, if I put $10,000 in my 401k, they put $20 in? That seems like good business to me. And he's fine no matter what. I think there's a small percentage in the middle that would be adversely affected. A guy that's early in his career, he was dumb. He probably would have figured it out in 2 years.
Is bigger than you think it is.
Maybe.
Well, then the other thing that the other issue is Gene Upshaw himself. I was listening to Diassi. I think it was Diassi the other day talking about when they formed this Players Inc. thing, and really only two people run it,
and no one knows what goes on.
And it's a private company.
Yeah,
it's owned by Gene Upshaw and some other guy.
Some other guy. I never heard the
name. And supposedly the players bought into it, you know, because they trust Gene Upshaw.
And Andy were trying to talk to Tip about it the other day.
You know, but what about all this income? Why shouldn't the owner say, hey, you know what? Give us a portion of that. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know,
players are the ones taking that on the chin. Money goes into this company, and only a certain number comes out.
I'm waiting for my next check to come out and see if Bill Bidwell got a piece of, you know, the deductions. Bill Bidwell, you know, get a piece of PFW.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Before we get to some emails, what about any other Patriots news? Anything going on?
Ross Tucker signed.
Yep. Big signing. I'm glad we were able to get that information from.
So we're down to 15.
A good source.
14?
14.
And I got 14. me a reliable source in the Dallas area saying that the Cowboys are going to make a strong push for Willie McGinnis.
Really?
You know, I'm hearing a little, not necessarily Dallas, but I'm hearing that there's a lot of interest in him.
Yeah, no. There was about six teams that mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Andy.
Cleveland was.
I've been
one.
Saying this for you like to bring it up when I'm wrong, baby. Hey, let's shoot it both ways. Bring it up when I'm right. I always knew there was going to be interest. And if
I
he
said
leaves,
he was
he's
gone.
A moron.
He's gone.
If
baby.
He leaves, he's a moron. Because he will not have the success he would have here.
What about Vinatieri? Have we heard anything about him?
I think everything is on hold until we get a decision.
I think Paul's
on the
right about Vinatieri. He's just waiting to see what else is out there, knowing he can come back here at a good price.
One of the things about Vinatieri is he's operating without an agent.
No, he has an agent.
I don't think so.
Well, the reports were that he had moved to one of Neil Kornrich's underlings who is certified.
I heard that that's one of the holdups, is that he's not operating with an agent.
Let me guess, he's not getting good advice. Well, I love that one.
No longer has the same agent as other people.
Yeah. He didn't sign the deal that they offered him with no signing bonus. Right. He's all not right. getting good
ill-advised.
Advice.
Ill-advised.
If they say yes to this agreement, free agency starts on Friday.
Right.
Right.
They say no.
Starts Thursday.
Starts Thursday, and teams have
unless
to
they delay it.
Which I'm not convinced they won't delay it again.
They said they won't.
Despite Gene Upshaw's
no
rough
way,
and tough demands.
If they say no, then by 9 o'clock tonight, they have to be cap compliant.
Right.
I mean, I can't see them saying no. I just can't see it.
Why?
I don't know. I've been wrong. I thought this was going to be done a year and a half ago, so what do I know?
I did too.
You know?
But I just think when you keep delaying it, just get it done. I don't understand.
Yeah.
If you're so far apart, then it's not going to get done. Then stop delaying it and deal with the inevitable that crap's about to hit the fan.
Well, I hope the crafts come back in a good mood if they say yes to this thing and, you know, start looking at everyone's salary, you know, taking out the coffee machine in the kitchen, the Pepsi machine.
This isn't funny.
You know?
What? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to look at their costs, you know?
So why is that funny?
Because they're making less money.
Not funny.
If they say yes, the crafts look at their bottom line and say, whatever the percentage is, that's how much less I'm going to make now. It's really, literally.
Yes, I understand. Why are we laughing about it, though?
I'm not. I'm just saying. I hope they're in a good mood when they come back.
It's not funny.
You know?
Although my cap number is relatively low.
It's basically, if you know.
Cost more.
Fred's the high cap guy.
I'm not
breaking any banks here.
I mean, if their salary is their profit margin, their salary is going to be cut. They're going to get a salary cut. That's the way they look at it. It's that simple. So.
Why are you laughing again?
So you look at that, and so now, okay, why should I investigate new football streams of revenue? Why should I put on little things like Football 101, you know, things like that? Well, who cares?
Got to have a team paper, though.
You
got to have a team paper.
Okay.
That's not new revenue. That's been around for a while.
Not but if you're the low-income teams and you just say, we can't make any money.
Steelers don't have a team newspaper.
We're high revenue.
They seem to
we
be
need
fine
a team
without
paper.
It.
No, I'm saying if you're a low-revenue team, you can do we can't make any money.
I don't care about the low-revenue teams. I don't
the Steelers.
That.
Steelers wouldn't benefit from having a team paper because there are hardly any Steelers fans around the country.
Right. You know, why wouldn't they do that? Why do the Steelers have one person working for their website?
Because they're dumb.
Well, but that's the point. And you're at Robert Kraft, look at that and you say, you could be making more money
but
with a little bit more
effort. That's the problem right there. Instead of just saying, I'm not giving you any of mine, set up a system that forces them to earn theirs, which in turn puts more money into the entire league.
And
that's why I want my number. If you prove to me that the Pittsburgh Steelers are earning 2% of what they could earn rather than 60% the Patriots earn, force them to get up to 60% to help the whole league.
You know, and
a rising tide lifts all boats, a wise man once told me.
That would be
that wise man's right across from me.
That would be a very complicated system. But when you got Dan Rooney...
But we're the biggest league in the world with the smartest people working for it. I don't care if it's how complicated it is. Figure it out.
But when you get a guy like Dan Rooney who on TV, on film says... You know, I could raise prices on my tickets, but I don't want to because I don't
want
to.
And he doesn't want to, but you know what? If you set up a system that forces him to, either he's going to get out or he's going to raise it.
Well, I think but that's what
create the
you
system.
Set up a system that he doesn't have
better,
to because he's going to
get
the money.
No, I don't. My little faux number that I made up that tells me how much the market is, he needs to earn to a certain percentage of that or you get nothing.
Andy, what better system is there but competition?
See, I don't think it's fair competition, though, in this case.
But when you don't even try to compete, I even think the high revenue teams I've heard say, we're going to take care of those low revenue teams, but they've got to compete.
So you got to force them to. People aren't just going to change for the sake of change.
I think
force them to do it.
I think a competitive open market is the best way to make them compete.
See, I don't, because I don't think the playing field is there.
But with some help.
Okay.
With some subsidy.
I want to set it up so that I'm not trying to be nice here. I want to force them to earn as much money as they can. Based on a number and a percentage, and if you're not doing it, sucks for you. You're not getting any check from the league this year.
This system isn't going to be forcing them to make as much as they can.
Well, then that's their problem.
So then why should we?
Are you going to tell me that
merchandising is part of the DGR, right?
It's part of the DGR, the league merchandising.
Right.
I mean, that goes into a pool.
So everything that everybody makes in terms of NFL licensing, it all goes to everybody.
Right.
Despite the fact that there's probably 4 Arizona Cardinals shirts around the country.
Right. But here's what gets me, though.
That's not enough of a subsidy.
This is what I'm not sure about as far as what total football revenue. The Patriots, for example, they have a pro shop. Okay. The pro shop sells licensed merchandise. And every time they sell licensed merchandise, the money goes back to the league. But they act as a store. Now, there's also profits that go to the crafts from the store operation. I don't know if those profits also now have to be shared. Same thing with concessions at stadiums. I'm not sure. I heard it was, but I don't think it's the case where now concessions during a football game have to be shared. I'm not sure about that. I don't.
Should be.
Why?
Because it's football revenue.
Okay.
Those people came to see the game, and while at the game, they bought a hot dog.
Okay, what about signage in a stadium?
Yep.
What about a multi-use stadium? How much of the signage gets to be part of total football, and how
percentage.
Much
percentage? How much of the stadium is used for football, and what's the other percentage?
Andy Harson at the head of this thing.
And
nothing
sure
would ever
I would just
be
hire the smartest lawyers and economists and say, I want this, and this. Be back to me by Friday.
And I'll hire the smartest accountants, and I'll beat you every time.
No, because I'm hiring them,
I know
too.
What I'm
doing. For me
you
to
don't.
Be on the side of, like, a multi-billionaire, but
I
don't know how anybody would ever make any money in his
world.
I have
heard different reports about what is in total football revenues. I've heard reports that signage is not, and
that's the questionable one.
You know, because, like, I could structure a contract with Fidelity, for example, where they pay $20 for their sign, but they're paying $2 million for something that's not part of total football. There's too many ways around
that.
Oh, there's
no question you can do that.
So then, you know,
I
aren't we forcing teams to do
I
that?
I always think the shady person is going to be ahead of the guy trying to keep it in line. But I think to some degree you have to try.
Yeah, it's a tough one. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll regather our thoughts and we'll get to your emails.
From sixth round draft pick in 2000 to 3-time Super Bowl champion and 2-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more.
Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages. Offer ends 1-106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
Looking for the perfect item for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman! The Rams pull out another lead!
The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
This is PFW in progress.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
PFW in progress.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
With Fred Kirsch.
Will somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way?
Paul Perillo.
No. Stay and help you, I will.
Jedi Master. Take it to him, I will. But thou must eat.
Come.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Andy Hart.
Let's get one thing straight. I take orders from just one person. Me.
Some guy named Tom.
We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
PFW in progress.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.
Okay, let's hope the Force is with the owners today. We need football the way we know it. Not with all this uncapped crap. Get that right. Wouldn't you love to be inside in that meeting?
No.
See what's going on? No?
I'd be falling asleep, and I'd be getting
falling
mad.
Falling asleep?
I bet you they're going nuts.
I absolutely couldn't.
Screaming at each other.
I couldn't be in the room because I would be yelling at people that I really have no business yelling at.
Al Davis goes, I love my country and I love my league.
Al, what the hell does that mean?
Got
I had
Al
no problem with Al
corner.
Davis.
They got Al over there.
What are you
corner.
Talking about? You sued us 100 times. How do you love the league?
You leave me alone with Bidwell Brown and Ralph Wilson and Rooney, and things could get ugly.
Could you imagine Brian Morey in that room? Oh, man. He'd be, you know.
Talking URI basketball?
No, don't change the subject. Answer the question. I would love to be there. I think there's a lot of good stuff going on.
I think it would be interesting. But you would have to bite your tongue a lot, I'm sure.
There's probably like 6 guys who dominate the conversation, you know, and the rest are kind of just sitting around.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of followers.
See, if I was one of the owners, I'd be one of the guys just kind of sitting around waiting for lunch and stuff, you know, like all the perks.
Wait,
you know what? Who's paying for lunch? Do we get a percentage of this? Or?
It's 10:30. Let's get a quick stop for brunch.
Look, they gave us a notepad and a pen.
The Roonies are probably shoving them down their pants and...
how they're restocking their mailroom. But Yeah, you know, I was over at the stadium this weekend. I went to the Triple A Travel Show. Any of you guys?
What stadium?
Here.
Oh.
Gillette hosted the Triple A Travel Show. Place was
packed. Boss, you're a loser.
it was like, you know, three deep at tables of people grabbing fistfuls of
pens. I think the Cardinals and Steelers should split in that profit, too. That's football-related. It's at the stadium.
Well, you know,
without the NFL, they wouldn't have a place to hold a trade show.
Yeah, they would.
But would they? Why would they get into business if they didn't have a stadium?
I don't see any difference.
The crafts. Why would they get into the conference business if they didn't have a stadium?
Without the league, they would have no trade shows.
They had a stadium first, and then they decided to use it for other stuff.
No, they had a football team.
Right.
To play in the stadium.
And because they have a football team, they're able to host all these other events.
Right.
Same thing.
See, I think it's different.
I think it is, too, but that's, you know, the next logical argument, if you believe everything else they're saying.
Who we believe in here?
I'm not believing anybody.
Thank you.
You know?
The most intelligent thing you've said in the last hour.
All right.
I don't believe any of them either because they're all rich. As Borges wrote the other day, it's, you know, greed gets in the way of this and that. And
it was an argument among the rich, the filthy rich, and the obscenely rich.
Right. And somewhere it gets lost in there is Don Davis, who's just like, hey, I just want to play and collect a paycheck.
We got it pretty good.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that goes, now, wait a minute now. I put 10 grand in and they
match
it with 20.
Don Davis is a guy that anybody would like to have lunch with. You know, sit down, have a burger and a beer with and really enjoy themselves. He's just a good down-to-earth guy. You'd never know he was a pro football player.
He's a good guy. All right. Ken Baldwin writes in, based on the list provided in Tom Curran's article the other day, I was surprised to see the Texans in Cleveland ranked at 5 and 6 for generating money. These are not very high-income cities. Then you have San Francisco and San Diego so low for generating total revenue. Housing prices and business have been booming in San Francisco and San Diego for years. The populace in these cities have the money to spend money. How can San Francisco and San Diego not be able to get a local business to pay huge rights to name a stadium? Also, these stadiums are much more convenient to get to than trying to get to Foxborough Stadium. It seems Bob Kraft has a right to know why these teams must share in regional profits that he has developed through smart business decisions. Perhaps you could let us listeners know how a team like San Francisco and San Diego cannot make money. Failures in developing high-revenue franchises in highly marketable and wealthy cities is a shame, and the owners should be called out for poor business management. Also, can you provide me a list of where a team could generate total revenue? Some examples would be helpful.
Well, I was actually going to use the Browns earlier as a team that does make a lot of money because they have a new owner who's willing to, you know, willing to make money. But now that's a place, if they had like a Bidwell, wouldn't make any money. So that shows Paul's point of the it being more the owner and trying to generate revenue than it being the market. Because Cleveland is certainly a place you could sit there and not make any money at
all. Cleveland? Buffalo?
Yep. Cleveland? Right near each other.
What's the difference?
I mean, here's
the two most depressing places I've ever been.
And Ken also provides us a list of how the teams ranked in 2004.
Cleveland's not bigger than Buffalo.
For revenue, okay?
There's not more money in Cleveland?
It might be bigger, but
it's a mill town.
It's not necessarily a booming metropolis.
Redskins were number one. Patriots were two. Then Cowboys, Philly, Houston, and Cleveland, number six. Then you get down to the bottom.
By the way, Houston is huge.
Yeah.
And not necessarily surprised. I mean, it's like the fourth largest city in the country.
Well, there's like two cities. Remember when we were there and you
traveled from one skyscraper and you drove and then there was more skyscrapers. Right. So
Arizona is the last. Minnesota is second to last. San Diego is 30th. Now, that's a good city.
Yeah.
Atlanta, 28.
San Diego
is always low in every sport.
Atlanta, I don't get it. And everybody tells me that's the fastest growing city in the country.
Yeah. San Diego.
San Francisco, 25. The Jets. 23.
Well, I think the part of the Jets' problem is the whole stadium issue.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
They play in giant stadiums.
That's kind of like the Celtics and Bruins. You know, the Celtics never really could make the money that they should have made because the Bruins
were
just slumlord.
The Giants are 20.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean,
some of that's the stadium.
I don't understand as much with the Giants, but I know they don't own it either.
How many of the top 10 teams don't have new stadiums?
Miami is 12. They're right, you know, kind of in the middle. Detroit's in the middle. Tennessee's 14. Pittsburgh's 17. I'm surprised that they're that high. They do it, you know, because they have such a loyal base. But
I was going to say that's because of the passion of their fans.
I know a lot of Giant fans don't think that the owners that have now passed spend any money. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now, but Wellington Mara, I mean, I know a lot of Giant fans who complain about
that. I've talked to employees there, and they don't invest in their employees. I can tell you that much. You know, so
the San Diego thing, isn't that, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that more of kind of a retirement community?
Well, I'm not talking about scouting.
No, me neither.
Yeah, don't listen to it. I know.
Just ignore anything that goes against what I say. But, I mean, how far are they going to jump up the list when they have that new Xtapa or Xanadu or whatever
will. It's
called?
They probably
Xanadu?
Will.
What is it called again?
Xanadu. Oh.
But why should that
Xtapa be Xtapa is a Mexican restaurant in Dartmouth.
But that's not owned by the Giants.
Back to food for Andy.
That's not owned by the Giants. That's owned by the New Jersey
Expos. No, I know, but I'm assuming with this fancy place with luxury boxes, they're going to get a bigger
they should.
Boost of money.
That's why, you know, they should, absolutely.
Despite the fact that it's stupid.
Where's Oakland on that list, Fred?
I bet you they're not great.
And that's part of the problem, too. You got to divide markets in half.
I was just wondering where they are compared to San Fran.
Let me get that for you.
There's a lot of companies there, right? Computer companies in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, San Francisco, try renting an apartment in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more expensive than Boston. Oakland is 27th.
Don't ask him that. You know he has.
What?
You said try renting an apartment, and he said, have you tried?
Yeah, I have.
I told you, don't ask him. He's been everywhere.
Were those
the experimental years?
I lived in Boston for almost, had
San Francisco's
an apartment
got a reputation.
San Fran he's talking about.
San Francisco I'm talking about.
Oh,
have
lived
I
in
tried?
San Francisco for 6 years?
No, I know people
college
who live
years,
in San
experimenting,
Francisco.
Trying some things.
Oh, Andy.
Just one of those things that interested you at the time.
San Francisco 25, Oakland's 27. Now, the thing about Oakland is they haven't been able to sell their own tickets up until this year. Part of that deal with moving back to Oakland and with the city there is that the city got the ticket revenues up to this year. This is the first year that Oakland can actually make money off of selling tickets, believe it or not.
See, that's a guy you can't – I mean, Al Davis has clearly tried to make money, right, by doing all these stupid things. He just didn't know what he was doing, apparently.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily put him in the category of the other guys.
No. I know, but he's a guy that's not making money,
now, maybe,
but has tried.
Maybe we don't hear anything from him because he is a little bit older now and not as well as as some of the other guys. But I don't hear him bitching about this.
Oh, he'll just wait. Whatever deal they end up doing, he'll sue them.
Oh, no.
And he'll win. He loves the league and his country.
Right. He hates everybody in the room.
that would be the great quote. I hate everybody in this room.
I think he's gone past the
Started
angry
with
old
you,
man.
Tagliabue.
I think he's gone past angry old man to no idea what's going on,
right.
Old man.
But San Diego, you know, being way down the bottom of that list, isn't that more of a kind of like a retirement area? Maybe there's no question there's an unbelievable amount of money.
But are there companies with money?
In San Diego? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily look at it.
What it all comes down to. The biggest, I don't know how you do Fortune 500, how many are in each city. I think that's one of the biggest things. Because those are the people that buy the $100,000 box and write it off and use it as an entertainment.
Well, that's like the whole thing. Cincinnati and Cleveland. You know, it's like
yeah,
a big rivalry. Cincinnati is supposed to be the wine and cheese of Ohio, and Cleveland is supposed to be the blue-collar Jamokes. But yet, Cleveland's at the top of the list, and Cincinnati's
right.
at the bottom.
And there's no excuse
See,
there.
That's my whole theory
stadiums.
With the new owners. When you get these new owners in here, they will find a way to make money.
Because they have to.
Yes.
Right.
But they have to be able to. There has to be something there.
But if
I go back to Buffalo again. Cleveland has basketball, baseball, football. It has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What does Buffalo have? A minor league baseball team?
Yeah, what you're talking
I
about.
I feel like
you're talking about
team.
One of the 32
but what's
teams.
What's the cost of doing business in Buffalo as compared to Boston?
Know. Again, we're back to my fault.
There's
this
no
number.
Reason.
I want this fictional number.
They have no overhead. They're not paying any debt service.
Out of the 32 teams, Buffalo and Green Bay are probably the only two that can claim that they're in the absolute middle of
yeah,
nowhere.
But Green Bay's probably up there.
And Buffalo is the second biggest city in New York, by the way, just for the record.
Okay.
It's not like they're in the middle of Cowtown.
I just don't know how many companies there are there. I kind of, based on seeing it and then Ralph Wilson saying, there's no companies here, I kind of believe him.
See, now why do you believe him but you don't believe the other guys?
What other guys?
That say that they're not working as hard as they can to make money.
What?
The high revenue guys that say that those low revenue guys aren't working as hard as they can. You don't believe them, but you believe Ralph Wilson, which says there's no business here.
Right. He's a nice old guy. Why would he lie? You know how I am. I believe certain people, and I don't. It's immediate.
And,
boom.
And
a reaction.
Normally, I don't really blame you for that because we all know that I tend to be a little reactionary myself, but I just don't understand why the solution to everything is don't worry about it. We'll make the money for you. And I don't understand why that's the solution.
I'm sure part of it is I'm a poor guy.
He's
and
the
I'm
man
sure
of, you're a man of the people
exactly.
and of nice old men.
I'm a poor guy.
Unless
so I'm more likely to side
to
the
helping
poor
out
guy.
A, right. you know, a special team or on the Saints that's making $200,000 a year.
Oh, by the way, I'm sure you're happy to see they won the Ed Block Courage Award because, you know, tough year, even though they gave an extra $40 million each. God.
Tick, tick, tick.
Jay writes in, why don't I hear more from the veterans that could really be damaged if the CBA is not extended? I've only read comments from Matt Burke and heard Don Davis on Felger's show. Davis said that the players have it pretty good, and he wants the status quo to continue. Players are crazy if they think things will be better if the CBA goes away. You hear about the uncapped year, but how many players are going to benefit from that? Richard Seymour may get a ridiculous signing bonus, but the guys at the end of the roster who are making $350,000 may find themselves only being offered $100,000 with few benefits under a new system because there will be no minimum salary. I wonder if the players realize what their lives might be like without a CBA.
I'm pretty sure they realize.
I don't know if a lot of them do, Tom.
Yeah, but who said the players wanted an uncapped year? Isn't everybody trying to get this done? Because if it's not done, it's bad for everybody. No. I think everyone's in agreement.
I think about a year ago, you heard a lot of players saying, oh, you know, bring it on. But now, as they've come to realize all the things that could work against them, I think both sides.
Because of the penalties that were built in.
I mean, Deion Branch will not be a free agent next year.
What player said bring on the uncapped year?
Oh, I heard a lot of people talking about
it. All I heard was Gene Upshaw saying, if you get rid of the cap, you'll never get it back.
Well,
see, I think in 2007, the uncapped year will not necessarily be a good thing for players. But I think if you had a situation where you never had a cap again, and let's say 10 years from now, like these college kids coming out, I don't think that would necessarily be a bad thing for players.
And is it also true that there would be no minimum salary in the uncapped year?
That's right.
No, you wouldn't have a minimum salary you don't have a union to tell you what the minimum should be.
No, that's the next year.
In the uncapped year, there's no minimum. There is no minimum.
In 2007? Yeah. Like what Andy said? You sure on that?
Uncapped year, there's no minimum.
Really?
You sure on that?
That's what they've been saying.
I don't think that's true.
Okay. Poor Ray Ventrone's going to be playing for like 15 grand.
So you,
I mean, without a CBA, without a CBA,
the difference between a player minimum and the cap minimum. Right now,
I'm talking about a player minimum. Oh, 4-year veteran.
Of course there is.
That's not what that guy said.
No, I agree with Andy on that one.
Yeah, there's absolutely a veteran minimum and
all
that
good,
stuff.
Okay, good.
But the teams don't have to spend a certain amount.
Now, with no CBA. Like in 2008, if they're playing and there's
no
CBA.
I have no questions about that because I think it's all just a huge bomb blown up.
All right. Henry from
I think it's like anything else. It blows over.
Eventually.
Yeah,
it's all about how much you're willing to lose.
I'll sacrifice.
Whichever side is willing to lose more comes out winning in the end. Somebody breaks.
It'd be funny, though, if like for a couple of years the NFL didn't play and all these really good players played arena football. Wouldn't that be something, huh?
Obviously,
we all hope it never comes to anything like that.
They all go to Europe.
Because I don't necessarily think that PFW is going to be cranking out issues on the CBA update every week.
Can you imagine the house scored in that? 76-62. House scored goes over 10 pages.
Have to do the revolution.
What? No, we'll do the AFL, right?
By the way, revolution season tickets are now available for the upcoming season.
They have a cap in the MLS.
Free parking, right, Gary, this year? You buy season tickets, free parking at Gillette Stadium. So, there you go.
A portion of that fee goes to Bill Bidwell, by the way.
Buy season tickets and they'll pick you up, drop you off, get you a sub on the way if you need it.
They'll let you play in the second half.
Right. What time's the game start? When can you get here?
Called the Fantasy League now.
Henry from San Antonio, I have a few questions. First, what do you think the chances of Isaac Bruce coming to play for the Patriots as a number two receiver? Second, with these big-time players being released, like Sam Madison, Julian Peterson, Jamie Sharper, Brady Smith, blah, 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 do you see any of these players that the Patriots might look into? Also, I plan on going to New England to see a Patriot game next season. I was wondering on which game might be the one to go to, the Broncos or Colts, which game might have more hype?
P.S., Tom, I thought
they would have an agreement on Saturday night, but I guess we were both wrong.
I like young girls.
I would advise coming to the Colts game.
Yeah, Colts will have more hype. I think Isaac Bruce makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
For Isaac
and
Bruce?
And I don't even know if he'd be number two. He would be 1B.
I mean, for the Patriots.
Right. I agree with that.
But Bruce is healthy. He's very, very, very good.
But I just I think there's going to be more teams looking for veteran wide receivers than what the Patriots are going to be willing to pay.
Yeah, I don't think that he's necessarily in a position to command a huge salary, though. I think he may be able to make more
$750 on one year deal or whatever.
I don't think they're going to offer him the minimum.
But I think Andy's right. If you look at the teams with money to spend, like Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Minnesota, they're in the market for receivers.
See, I think they're in the market for a young receiver, though. Like David Gibbons, I think, makes
Eagles,
a lot of sense
the
in Cleveland.
Eagles could be one of those
I don't think
teams.
David Gibbons wants to go to Cleveland, but I think David Gibbons would make a lot of sense to Cleveland.
Right, but I think there's enough teams where all those guys are going to make a little money because...
Yeah, I don't think it's a great market, though. I don't think it's a great market. It's not. I don't think it's a great time to be a free agent right now. Now, especially if you're a guy like Bruce and you're kind of at the end of the line here. I mean, you're probably going to sign, what, a two-year deal here at most, maybe three. Look, I don't think the Patriots are going to... You know, go out there and be overly competitive financially and outbid anybody. I don't think that's their way, but I don't think that he would have to settle for a minimum to play here.
See, I think
Tom, are we still getting LeVar Arrington?
Yeah,
Tom loves LeVar Arrington. I don't necessarily disagree with him. It just all depends on what kind of money he wants to make.
I just think if you give Bill Belichick LeVar Arrington, you can have a monster on your hands. Now, I know they say, oh,
think
he
that he's put Willie McGinnis in positions to make plays? What do you think he could do with LeVar Arrington?
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say.
Guy's not 110.
Depends if LeVar Arrington does what he tells him to do.
Yeah, but is he any more hard to coach than Willie McGinnis was at some point in his career? I mean...
Well, I think Willie McGinnis, one of his pros is that he's pretty
coachable.
Listen,
this is what I'm going to tell you. I don't believe everything about a player that comes from a team that is parting ways with him. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Let me watch some film first, and then I'll tell you what I think of that.
Phil from Austin writes in, Fred, I can see the crass argument about high-revenue teams, especially since they stepped up and built a new stadium on their own dime. I also believe it's a little deceptive to use the term small-market teams because, according to Forbes, the Jets and the Giants are both in the bottom half of the total revenue per team. On the other hand, if there wasn't revenue sharing back in 1994, Bob Kraft probably would never have bought the team in the first place, and without Bob Kraft, I'd be rooting for the St. Louis Patriots, so there are two sides to this.
We are not advocating the elimination of revenue sharing.
Right. Let me go on. I also think that no matter what the system is, the Krafts will figure out ways to keep their money out of the pockets of guys like Bidwell and Rooney.
I agree.
Not worried about sharing revenues with these guys as long as the Patriots don't have to share brain cells with them.
I agree.
A question about Manning and Harrison's contract. How were the Colts able to keep moving cap dollars from these contracts year after year? According to what I read, Manning's cap number for 2006 is lower than Brady's. How can they keep this up?
Well, they had to tweak both those contracts.
Right.
I know that recently.
Well, they just restructured it. That's what he's talking about.
Well, that was a rule changing. There was a guy ruled on it. What's the guy's name?
Who? Bertelsen?
Block?
It might have been. It was one of the. Oh. There was an independent arbitrator or somebody or a
Richard
master
Block?
In chief. Is there a master? What's the guy called?
Master in command.
Somebody, they ruled, they kind of. And it had to do with the upcoming uncapped, and they had to tweak those, but yeah, it. They had to tweak them.
I mean, you got to figure at some point.
At some point,
they're going to get better.
But here's a perfect example of what we were talking about before. Irsay is building a new stadium. He knows he has to build a new stadium to compete.
Right.
And he's going to get a lot of new revenue from that stadium. So, you know, we think, oh, you know, eventually they won't be able to pay these players. They will. You know,
not, I think
and they'll prorate the bonuses.
I think the Colts, though, are a team in 3 years that could be in some cap trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to win a Super Bowl right now, and I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, they're trying to do it while Manning is in his prime.
That's what a lot of teams do.
Right.
I got
no problem with it. And it catches up with you. Cash over cap. It catches up with you.
Absolutely. But I'm not even necessarily saying cash over cap. You can put off that money if you want to, so it's not necessarily cash over cap. But at some point, you got
to
pay it.
At some point, you have to pay it.
But, I mean, they gave him $30 million over 2 years or whatever. They clearly were over, but that year they were in the hundreds of millions of dollars spent for that actual cap year because they gave him a check for $15
million. At some point, the dead money catches up.
But good teams will be back. Take a look at the Titans,
right,
who have been starting young guys the past couple of years. Now they draft Vince Young. All of a sudden, 2007, 2008, the Titans might be back.
Exactly why cash over cap is not an issue, because – you just have to figure out how you want to manage it. You make a run for a couple of years and then regroup for a couple of years, or you try to stay even keel and just be good and hope you get one, you know, breakout year there. It's your decision, but it's all the same. You're going to have to put that money on the cap at some point.
Let's see. Joey says, Fred, Paul, Andy, and some guy named Tom. Quick thoughts on the draft and free agency. I would like to see Belichick and Pioli address the wide receiver and running back positions through free agency and concentrate on the defensive side of the ball through the draft.
Linebacker.
Three names I would love to see wearing a Patriots uniform
Carpenter.
This upcoming season. Bobby Carpenter, trade up if needed, Dwayne Slay, and Richard Marshall. I don't see secondary as crucial as some talented linebacker, indeed line, or defensive end tweener. Call me kooky, but don't abuse me, angry Andy and pugnacious Paul.
You know why they call him Dwayne Slay? because he has one attached to his back when he runs the 40 at 4.92.
He's still a good player, though. It's, I agree. The 40 time is a little
disturbing.
He doesn't
have to run 40 yards to get to the quarterback.
But
it's a safety, isn't he?
Carpenter would be a good
Texas
pick.
Tech, right?
There's one name.
He might have to run a little bit back
there. There's one name that'll be interesting out there who I know Paul doesn't really like him, but I do kind of like him, and he is not going to be re-signed, is Najee Davenport in Green Bay. There's a running back who won't command huge dollars and could come in and be a compliment to Dylan and be there in case something happens. So that might be a name you want to watch out for, because he's a running back you could pick up, you know, not cheap, but not overly expensive.
I don't mind him for that role.
Right.
Plus, as a five-carry-a-game guy or whatever, just as a compliment to Dylan, I don't have any problem with that.
Plus, a running back, if you pick a guy that fits your system, can come in and run your system. If you just snag a linebacker or a free agency, you might end up with Monty Beisel, who can't play in your system.
Right.
I think there's a bigger transition period there.
And I would disagree with the email, and this is not trying to be pugnacious, but I think that there's a far greater need for defensive back help than there is for defensive line help.
Yeah.
He said defensive.
I think the defensive backs.
Linebacker. Linebacker, I would agree. No, he said linebacker and defensive line he wants. Linebacker, I would agree with. I think they need youth and talent at linebacker, but
they need a stud.
Defensive line, I think they're,
I don't think, the defensive backs are as great as everybody makes them out to be.
Well, I think it's a huge weakness.
I think people are talking about Randall Gay like he's the next coming of Jesus Christ. You know,
I really haven't heard that Randall Gay talk, that these two guys.
I don't know where you're reading, because
all PFW
say
we have Randall Gay. We have
Randall Gay, we have Ellis Hobbs, and it's like we're saying, we have Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes.
Just, you know.
I think they have okay depth. They
yeah,
just
but
don't have any
maybe
high-end
Belichick
talent.
Wants a shutdown kind of corner so he can do different kinds of things with
that's
his defense.
Fine. They clearly don't have one of those. I think you put one of those on their team, though, and they have pretty good depth in the secondary.
I think if they go corner, linebacker, or running back in round one, we'll all be happy. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Now,
me, personally, I go linebacker.
But here's the thing.
I like linebacker.
I want a Bobby Carpenter type who I can watch, run around and say, you know what? That guy's different than what we've had here lately.
The best combination of need and value to my... You know, looks to me to be linebacker based on what you guys have told me about some of the guys.
The problem
you
there is that say Carpenter and a couple of the other guys are gone.
Yeah, change.
Now you might be reaching at 21 for a linebacker,
right, and that's they but do that better than anyone.
I don't want to do that.
But the Patriots move around four picks better than anyone. Okay, I can't get him. I'm going
down
to 27, and I can get whatever.
But let me ask you this: Stephen Neal goes.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a big guard market this year. I mean, who are they going to – if they can't re-sign somebody, doesn't guard become a pressing need for them? All they have is
Logan Mankins. They have confidence that Dante Scarnecchia can take chicken, you know what, and turn it into an okay offensive line.
Russ Hochstein
starts. I could tell by last season when Brady was getting killed on every other play.
They won 3 Super Bowls doing it.
That's the past.
So is last season.
I don't think it's a major need.
I can tell you how the Cowboys won three Super Bowls. Should
I'm
we start playing like they
the
did?
Past.
Yeah, I wouldn't have no problem if they started playing like the Cowboys did when they won three Super Bowls.
What I'm saying is
Scarnecchia is the offensive line coach here. He's won you 3 Super Bowls with guys like Russ Hochstein starting, so I think you have faith that he can probably do it again.
All right, and the offensive
Russ
line
Tucker.
Stunk last year, and you
no
take Stephen Neal out of there. And
so did the running back.
Well?
They both stunk, and that's why the need was so glaring in the ground game.
You're the biggest phony there is.
Why am I
phony? This guy, Andy Hart, I want everyone to know Andy Hart is the biggest phony in the world.
Why am I phony?
You know what, Tom? I think there's a lot of truth to what you said.
He is upstairs ripping Russ Hochstein with me as I'm writing my update.
Because I think he can't play.
And now he's on here saying
that. I don't have any problem if you have to plug him in.
Yeah, now we'll just plug in Russ Hochstein.
Because they've won doing it, so I'm just going to assume they can.
That doesn't mean they've won. It's like John that always emails in. You know, he talks about how great the offensive line is because they've won with it. Well, that doesn't mean that they won because of it.
No.
Maybe they would
have to rank my needs.
Well, I think that...
And I think there's a better chance that they win...
I think linebacker is a bigger need than guard. There's no question about that. But don't tell me that guard's not a need.
There's a better chance they win with Russ Hochstein than some chump playing linebacker. I think
a chump
can play offensive line. No.
Well, who's the chump playing linebacker?
Chad Brown.
They didn't have him playing linebacker at the end of the year last year.
But I think there's a better chance of having success on the offensive line with some chump than at linebacker. That's all my point is. So therefore, I rank the need at linebacker higher.
I would agree with your point, and I think that linebacker need is higher. But I don't.
You can only go in with so many needs. But you got to rank them, and then you decide. Well, I want a linebacker. I want a running back.
I'll
fill a guard.
No circumstance.
I can always get a guard.
There's no circumstance I would ever take a guard with the 21st pick.
No, me either.
No, but I'm just saying.
So I mean,
I'm not sure you need to in the top three.
Well, I think that if you lose Stephen Neal, that becomes one of your top three needs.
Could be.
Offensive.
And what
line,
if,
period. Whether it's a guard, center,
would a line up four guards, and Hochstein will play wide receiver, or Hochstein will play running back.
There's a lot of ways to get that guard.
Right, there is.
I think you can get a Jag, and he can be successful.
Fred, I'm not saying that you have to draft. I'm just saying if you lose Stephen Neal,
absolutely,
guard becomes one of your top three needs. Offensive line, in some form, needs to be addressed.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you draft it. I agree with Andy. Linebacker's a bigger need, in my opinion, because at some point, one of these guys is going to retire. I mean, how long are you going to go with the same core of linebackers, which is very, very good, but they have a lot of wear and tear on it?
One's
going to
get cut, so you might have a hole
there's
immediately.
There's a lot of these linebackers that
and
we're talking about.
I would change my opinion, by the way, of my whole thing. Just like I said, if McGinnis goes, then I make that an even higher.
But you just admitted somebody's going at some point in the near future.
And that's why it's my biggest need. I think that they have a good starting core of linebackers, but I have seen nothing from the group of Banta Kane and Chatham.
Well, I was going to say,
anybody
but my
else that shows
is,
it, that you can plug one of those in and be okay there like you are on the offensive line.
All
with
things being equal, who do you feel better plugging in, Gene Merchkowski or one of those guys, Matt Chatham or Tully Banta Kane? Because I feel better that I can win with Gene Merchkowski than
only
I can with
of,
chumps.
I agree. Not necessarily because of the caliber of player, but I think that linebacker is more important to the success of your team than guys.
Exactly.
And a lot of the linebackers in the draft, that first round area, are the rush end kind of linebackers too. They're not necessarily that middle linebacker.
Right.
And so that could be maybe a second round area that the Patriots get that run stuffing 250
plus. I think no matter how good the guy is, there's going to be a transition period to get the system. Play like Mike Vrabel or Teddy Bruschi, or get what Belichick's yelling at him from the sidelines.
Of course,
to get
if you
all
lost
that.
McGinnis and picked up LeVar Arrington, though, see, then you got something. Then you got something.
So from one overrated player to another.
Oh, well, Arrington makes plays when he's on the field.
So does Willie McGinnis, and I think he's overrated.
Not as many.
Let's see, Scott.
Oh, wait a minute.
What? Okay.
I don't think Willie McGinnis is a very good player, and you think Arrington makes more plays than him? Because Willie McGinnis makes a lot of plays.
Rushing the passer. I think Arrington can do more things on the field than McGinnis.
Well, I don't know. I think Arrington has more potential. He's a better.
I think Arrington's never been in the
and
right.
If you're still living
team.
On potential at this point in your career, I'm a little hesitant.
Yeah.
You make him sound like he's never done anything.
No, he's been a good player.
Right, and I think
thought he was going to be a great
and
player.
And I think if you give him to somebody like Belichick,
McGinnis was going to be a great player,
and he
was
made
a disappointment as well. And who did he make a great player? Willie McGinnis.
See, there's the difference. I don't think Willie McGinnis ever became a great player.
You just said he did.
No, I said he makes plays. And he makes. That's how little I think of LeVar Arrington right now, because I think he makes less plays than Willie McGinnis. Right. And I think Willie McGinnis is a guy that rides the defense.
We'll see in September.
You think LeVar Arrington can come in and help this make this defense great?
If LeVar Arrington comes here, he'd be top five defensive player of the year.
I don't think there's any chance. I think he'd be lucky to be top five on his team.
You realize career-ending injury is right around the corner for LeVar Arrington.
Sorry, LeVar.
All right, let's see. Scott from Washington, a couple questions here. What coaching position on the Patriots staff will DeJuan Daniels hold?
Coaching assistant.
Entry level.
Okay. And two, what insights have you been able to glean regarding or what your thoughts about Belichick's feelings about having two disciples in the same division? I'm curious how he feels, one, technically about having two guys in Mangini and Saban who know the Belichick system, and Mangini in particular knows some of Belichick's most recent thoughts on players, and two, personally, about having to go up against these friends. From my own perspective, I was disappointed when Saban took the Miami job. I was hoping he'd go to a team outside the division if he joined the NFL. I'm sure Belichick would say it is what it is, but I wonder what he really thinks about it and what you guys think about it just generally.
Well, we know that Steve Belichick said he wished Saban had gone to that damn NFC West or NFC West, I believe.
Right.
So, a family
and
member.
And has anybody actually seen Belichick and Mangini in the same room together? Because talk about the same exact person.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
So we don't know, really.
But I'm not Bill
Belichick.
He's
not going to tell us.
And I'm not
I mean, I would guess. I think it's safe to say that he probably would rather have Saban in another division.
Right.
But
because he thinks he's a great coach.
I don't think it's an overly
big
thing.
They know about what Belichick's thinking.
He knows what they're thinking, too.
It goes both ways.
Yeah. I was going to say, more, especially with Mangini.
I mean,
Mangini's never done anything that Bill didn't tell him to do.
He has the better player.
Offense, Eric.
Yes, exactly. When those two teams play, or those three teams play each other, it really does come down to who plays better.
But
it does look like the Dolphins are going to be very aggressive.
In other words, I don't think there's much of an advantage for Nick Saban being. I mean,
Right.
How much did they know about Miami and Miami know about them when Wanstead was there?
Right.
Now, Wanstead was a terrible coach, in my opinion. But they knew everything
yeah.
that the Patriots were going to do. It's a matter of stopping it.
Yeah. Three, have you...
I don't know about Wanstead knowing everything.
It's not because of
game... I don't think very much about Dave Wanstead.
It's not because of game plans.
Pitt.
I think he's an old-school coach. Dumb.
Have you had any more info on what's up with Ryan Clarridge? I thought it was interesting in the Q&A with Chad Brown that Chad said to look out for Clarridge, implying that he's a player who could be a pleasant surprise. You guys have said you haven't seen Clarridge at all since the summer, so I'm wondering what, if anything, more you can say about Clarridge or what the team thinks
well,
of him.
You guys will have to take this one, because if Clarridge came into my house and sat down, I wouldn't know who he was. I haven't seen him since I've been here.
I wouldn't either. I've only seen him a couple
times. I know
times.
What he looks like, but that's about it.
No,
I haven't seen him since the summer. Nothing has changed.
Right.
What's the Q&A with Chad Brown?
We had a behind-the-scenes on Patriots.
From the Patriots Game Day magazine.
Oh.
It's a lighthearted.
Probably
so it's old?
It's probably a good 6 months old.
Yeah. Oh, so this conceivably could have been watch out from Ryan Clarridge when he was playing before it even went on IR.
Right. It could be from training camp. The only thing just news-related is I know his brother was
yeah.
found dead.
Clarridge?
Yes.
Really?
A former NFL player.
I didn't know that.
I haven't read anything since. I just read the initial report that he was found
wow.
dead. So.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I didn't know about the Claridge's brother.
What was this? Was it a suicide or something? Or
I don't know any.
I don't know.
I wouldn't want to speculate. I just read that he was found
yeah.
dead.
When?
A few days ago.
Yeah?
A couple days ago.
Was it this week?
Yeah, a couple days.
Was it this week?
Probably the end of last week.
Yeah. I mean, it was relatively recently. Last couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right, on that note, Gary, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady watches a 60-yard
touchdown! Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
Looking for the perfect item for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy.
And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Okay, welcome back to PFW in progress. Gonna give out that email address. It's webradio at patriots.com.
Phone lines are open. They were down before, but they're open now.
Webradio at patriots.com. Phone is 508-543-7482. One of our listeners sent us an article about Claridge's brother, Travis.
Yes.
Claridge, dated March 2nd. He died in hospital in Las Vegas after being found unconscious at his home earlier in the day. Cause of death is not specified. So he was playing for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Yep. Up at the CFL.
I didn't realize he wasn't in the league anymore.
CFL, yeah.
So, graduate of USC. He was one of the college. He was, you know, a highly recruited kid.
Played for the Panthers.
So he was
you know, I don't know what round he was drafted in, but he was one of those guys that year in the draft that you heard a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's so I'm sure that his brother is out there figuring out. He's only 27. So, okay. Well,
it'd be interesting to see what Ryan Claridge, if he has a future here, though. Ryan Claridge, obviously, not Travis.
Anyway, web radio.
What's wrong with you? I saw Gary's face, and I couldn't help myself. I had to say it.
Web radio at patriots.com. That's the email address is webradio at patriots.com.
He's a bad, bad man.
The owners are in.
I agree.
The owners are in Grapevine, Texas, at a hotel.
I heard it.
And they're huddled up, and they're going to vote on
my comment.
They're going to vote on
harmless though.
The union's last offer, I guess. Is that's what Upshaw said?
No, no, we really mean it.
That's it. Yeah.
This is the last offer.
Last time. We're not delaying it this time.
So we'll see what happens, and I guess they have to until 8 o'clock or so.
More importantly,
I guess
they have to inform the union at by 8 o'clock of whether or not they're going to accept it.
8 o'clock, they get. I thought they had to be under the cap by 8.
No, 9 o'clock.
Oh.
9 o'clock.
Eastern or Central?
Eastern.
Oh, okay. More importantly, Tom Casale getting ready to do his NFL Europe diary.
Oh, you going to NFL Europe?
Yeah, I'm doing the Ray Ventrone diary.
Okay.
It's exciting, huh?
It's good.
Big news.
You and Ray tight now?
Boring!
Yeah, what team is he on?
Cologne. Or I don't know how you say it.
Cologne.
Cologne.
Centurions.
Should have stuck with the first one. Cologne. It's not like baloney.
I thought
baloney.
Jared said it different. That's why.
Well, he probably said it incorrectly. Don't ever go with what Jared says. He's a moron.
He is a moron.
But yeah, that. Who else is over there? Anybody of interest?
Drew Henson.
Yeah, Drew Henson.
Be the biggest name, probably.
Brock Berlin. I saw that name floating around over there.
God, he suck.
That's generally what you get in that league. But all games to be broadcast on the NFL Network. All 31 games, I believe. So Tom will bring us updates on
I've watched some NFL Europe, but
It's painful.
It is painful.
It's boring.
Yeah.
It's not good football.
Unless there's a guy there, unless there's a guy there you're particularly interested in watching.
Right.
Like, say, if you're looking to watch Drew Henson.
Right. Preferably a skill player that you can watch do something.
But other than that, the games are just boring.
What would you rather watch, an XFL game or NFL Europe?
Oh, NFL Europe. The XFL actually pain my eyes.
I think they're both kind of the same.
I look at them as exactly the same.
I have to disagree. I have to disagree. At least the NFL Europe has some NFL caliber players. XFL just had a
bunch. Rod Smart came out of the XFL.
One, who else? Two
Tommy
people, Maddox and Rod Smart, out of the whole league.
Well, if they'd been around a little longer.
I bet you didn't watch a lot of the league then, because I did, and it was absolutely atrocious.
It was bad football, just like NFL Europe is.
Yeah. It's bad. I think NFL Europe is
bad.
Pretty bad, too.
It's not, there's plenty of people from NFL Europe.
And I think if you had a situation where the NFL had an affiliation with the XFL, and you had players that had to be allocated from NFL teams to XFL, it would be
you'd get the
same
50,
amount.
Right. 52nd and 53rd player on the roster would be in the XFL.
I wouldn't see
NFL.
Vaughn Dunbar and Stepfret Williams, people who can't play football. At least these guys have potential to play football.
But that's because they're allocated by the NFL, so that's the only difference. If the NFL had started a relationship with the XFL.
I think you guys are forgetting of all the retreads the XFL had.
It was bad. I'm not...
Kurt Gouveia, he was like 58.
I'm not defending the XFL in the
but
least.
So
I'm just
the
saying
Mexican
it's,
lineman
it's not,
and the English wide receiver. They're bad,
it's
too.
It's just bad. It's bad football.
It is.
And the NFL Europe is
but
just
at least
as bad.
The NFL Europe has some young guys that has some athletic ability and fly around a little bit and
still stinks.
It's got Ray Ventrone.
Well, I'll
Ray,
tell you,
Ray.
If you want,
give me the Arena League anytime.
If you take a list of the NFL Europe players
I
now
can't
in the
stand
NFL
arena
and
league football, how
can
you watch Arena League
again?
Football?
A league that's been around for 12 years and has a tie with the NFL.
Right.
That's why.
The XFL.
If the XFL had been around for more than a decade and had a contract with the league, there'd be just as many players.
Because you say it would be NFL Europe, but it wasn't. You're comparing something totally different. You're
but
comparing
I'm not.
The league
the
that it was, and then making it a whole different league, and saying, "Oh, then it would be just like
but you're
NFL
trying
Europe.
To compare the players that came from one or the other. It had no tie to the league and was a low level football, and still got players into the league. So you would have Ooh. More if it was over a decade.
But it was only on for 1 year
and more than two.
It was awful.
At least three.
Awful. Yeah. NFL Europe is higher quality than that.
I don't know. I watched Rohan Davey dominate.
What about
it's
the
crap-ass league?
Damian Craig, I watched dominate.
What about the XFL cheerleaders?
I don't see any of the cheerleaders.
No. You don't? Why?
Because I don't know. Cause I don't.
You got blinders on or something? They showed them all the time during those broadcasts.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's the best part of the
game. To be honest with you, I'm not watching NFL Europe every single week. I
was talking about XFL. They were
trying
to sell
the XFL, yeah.
They were strippers.
That's what I
learned. Okay.
I
thought
you were talking about NFL Europe.
Do you
Europe.
Remember the first week?
Do they have cheerleaders in the NFL
yes.
Europe? They do?
I like young girls.
Do you remember the
now
first week?
Now it's time to dance.
They had on the XFL the hype that they had and
the
first
ratings
week.
Were huge.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Everybody watched, and they were like, wow.
And they fell
this
off the map.
This is really, really bad football. I ain't watching this anymore.
Not only was it bad football, you had like Brian Bosworth as a bad commentator.
Yeah.
So you got nothing out of it.
I remember looking forward to that when it started and watching the first week, and I don't think I ever really watched again.
Yeah, I mean, that was NBC.
Which is roughly what I did with NFL,
NFL
Europe. I watched,
now NBC's
you know,
back in the NFL.
A couple of the games that I watched, you know, when Davey was over there, and I see him just running around like
when
it's
he would
a playground.
Trip. Stumble, yeah. Drop the ball, pick it up, and then throw a 70-yard touchdown. You go, oh, yeah, that's great. Tremendous.
Yeah, it was
across
like a,
his body.
Like
that'll really work
playground
in the
football.
Yeah, but at least Vaughn Johnson wasn't playing.
But he's in the NFL, so I guess that's an endorsement of the league because he's still in the league, so he counts.
He
can't play, but you know, in 5 years, if the XFL was still around, he'd be with Vaughn Dunbar handing the ball off to him.
Right.
And Tom would make fun of him then, but right now he benefits Tom's sport.
You're not talking about 5 years later. You were talking about the XFL that was
Rohan
1 year.
I'm talking about Rohan Davey
that's
in particular. You're talking
said,
about the caliber of player.
You said the XFL that they had, what was the difference? And the XFL
not,
that they
and,
had
and I would
was
stand
the single
by and say
worst
nothing.
Football ever. I'd rather watch Canadian football, Pee Wee football, high school football, Andy Hart's video highlight anything in the XFL.
I'll even say this. I would venture to bet that those retreads that you're talking about that played that 1 year in the XFL would kill those little teams in the NFL Europe, all those young guys. They would kill them.
No way.
Kill them.
No way.
Wouldn't even be close.
Those guys sucked.
At least those guys.
Everybody in the XFL
at
sucked.
At least those guys were players at one
you
point.
You guys are talking about Rod Smart. He plays special teams. Tommy Maddox had one good year.
Instead of Daniel Benetka. I mean, there was a quality player.
Octung, baby.
Octung, baby.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kurt Warner, Brad Johnson. Those guys. Oh, yeah. They won Super Bowls. Sorry.
Yeah. in a 15-year history of a league, hey, he comes up with two
facts,
examples,
baby.
But we have to come
facts.
Up with those examples. Well, Tommy Maddox won more games than Brad Johnson.
Season.
So does that mean he's good?
He doesn't want more as a starter than Brad Johnson.
Does that mean he's good? No, he's not good. But he played in that
league sucks.
Just like Brad Johnson's
Rod
not
Smart
good.
Went to a Super Bowl. The league stuck. It was awful.
And NFL Europe awful. Is awful as well.
You clearly don't watch NFL Europe because it's bad.
I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm
it's
saying
terrible.
Bad.
It's
XFL
bad
was
football.
The worst football I've
Ogun
ever
Davey
watched.
Ogun was there.
Ever.
I tried to watch. I literally awful. Tried to watch, and it's bad.
I'm not. This is not a defense of XFL. I think that you're thinking we're pumping up the XFL.
Oh,
it's god awful football.
I thought that
as
was
is
the
Europe.
Worst football I ever saw. I thought it was
and
the
I'm
most
just telling
boring
you, there's,
n-
there's not
saw.
A discernible difference between the two. They were bad football, both. Very, very bad. Very, very wet. Very, very hot.
Fred, you have no interest in either?
I had no interest.
Fred doesn't even know the NFL Europe has a league.
But I'll have to say, though, Tom, if the way that they presented XFL. If that was on TV or Europe, I'd watch the XFL just because it's goofier. Not for the football. And nothing to do with the football.
Because they're right. Both bad football, yeah. So you're searching for something else.
Yeah. So I need a hook.
Yeah, so right. Just because it's goofier.
That was the problem. I watched it for the hook, and the football was so bad it made my eyes hurt.
Well, the hook wasn't good enough.
Right.
The hook, the hook was not good
well,
enough.
Well, the biggest problem was it never turned into what it was supposed to be. It was just bad football. It
right.
Was supposed
it was
to
supposed
be
to be something
a
different.
Video game football.
Right.
It was supposed
we're
to be
waiting.
Crazy.
You're
it was supposed
right.
To be
high-flying, harder-hitting.
Right.
And all it turned out
to be was
is a football game that instead of tossing the coin, they ran at the ball in the beginning. But other than that, it was basically the same game.
We were waiting
for the soap opera storylines to unfold that we grew to love
and wrestling.
You know what mistake they made? They hired real coaches who actually tried to coach like it was an actual football game, and they were running the ball 45 times a game with bad players. We didn't want to see that.
No, I want to see a guy pull out nunchucks and beat somebody to get by him.
We wanted to hear coaches say, "I go out and take out number 73.
Right.
Take him out."
That's what we were promised.
You got none of that. You got
bad
football.
The other thing, too, that hurt it is that they try to play in the middle of dead winter.
Right.
Yeah. You can't play football in the Northeast in the dead winter and have it be a high-quality game. You can't.
That's why Vince McMahon lost a few million bucks on that.
All right.
That was an error in judgment on Vince's part.
Getting back to this whole CBA thing, because that's really all that's going on right now. The reports that came out of Texas yesterday, Tagliabue made a very impassioned speech. It was very
So said the Roonies.
Out of character. He's usually a very kind of close to the vest kind of guy.
You can call him. You can say it. Puppet.
Who's he a puppet for?
Puppet? No.
He's a puppet.
For the owners?
He's a puppet.
Paul knows.
I think
you see that look, Paul knows.
I think he's been a pretty good commissioner.
I think he's a lawyer.
I think I would stay with
clearly a lawyer.
Or anyway, he makes this impassioned speech yesterday, and like you said, Dan Rooney, who wants the proposal that's in front of him to go through, of course, says Tagliabue made a great speech because basically Tagliabue's saying, look, you got to work this out. You got to take this offer and make it work for you. So of course the low revenue teams like the speech. But now that's done. So now it's up to you guys, okay? You're in the room right now with the owners, all right? And it's up to you. You've got 2 minutes to tell them what you think they should do. Andy, what do you tell them? What do you tell this room of owners and Paul Tagliabue?
Tell them what I've been telling them all along, my number thing. But they can't get it done in 2 minutes. This is something I would have started a year and a half ago when I knew this was on the horizon. And I knew that revenue sharing was going to be an issue, and I knew the players were going to be asking for a larger share of the pie. We need to somehow make all the pies equal so we can get an idea of how much pie is available in a certain market. That's what I'd tell them. You should have done that. Now you're being idiots.
Do we know that they haven't, though? Because I know there's a number
of... Oh, it's so simple and logical in my mind that if they have...
But I know that there's a number of...
There's probably about 12 basic principles of business that Andy and I are overlooking on this little thing.
I know this.
And I've been giving him credit for this every time I say it on the radio.
Giving me credit or using me as the fall guy?
Absolutely giving you credit for it every time. I go, Andy has a simple example.
I know there's been quite a few revenue-sharing plans that have been shared. A couple little factions of owners will come up with their plan and another. So there's been a number of revenue-sharing plans out there. They just can't agree to them. But, the other thing is that teams, even the Patriots, got help in building the stadium. They came out with these G5 loans.
Right.
And I think
that goes before the total gross revenues or whatever are calculated.
And I think the Patriots got like $140 million.
$140.
Well, that's how they talk about it. They just say $140.
$140,
you're supposed to know that that's a million. But
So what does Jerry Jones call his? Because his is a billion, isn't it?
I think that in the plan, in most of the plans that have come out, there has been some recognition that the smaller revenue markets need some help, and there's always been some sort of subsidy.
Right.
But I think down the road it has to get paid back. It's not just a, here, have this money. It's like, we'll give you this loan, low interest, build your stadium,
right.
And then, you know, over time,
Indy's going to use
part
that.
Of your debt service.
I don't know that it's gone through yet, but yeah. Indy's going to use some of that.
And I think, you know, that's there's nothing. Tom, what do you say?
I would tell the nine owners to stick strong. I'd say, you're right, there's still going to be revenue sharing, but you don't have to share all your money. This is the United States of America. You're making it. Other people aren't. Why do you have to give all your money to them?
You don't have to be in our league either. Kick them out.
If you can't compete in Buffalo, move. If you if you don't have enough money, don't name your stadium after your father.
I'm kicking the top nine markets out of my league. Let me rethink that for a moment.
So even after this impassioned speech by Tagliabue, how, you know, we really need to stick together, and these owners that have come in the last 10 years or so don't remember the work stoppages and don't remember those bad times.
They're on third base and think they hit a triple.
All things change. It's a new world now.
Okay. Paul, what do you tell them?
A world that wouldn't exist without revenue sharing.
Well, assuming that...
There still is revenue sharing.
Yes, I know. But as that evolves...
I'm operating under the premise that they understand that... You know how we say that everybody's lying, no one's telling the truth, you don't know who to believe? I'm operating under the premise that they actually know what is right and wrong in terms of all the rhetoric that's being thrown out there. In other words, will the competitive balance of the league indeed be thrown out? You know, I say no, Andy says yes... I'm assuming that they actually know the answer to this question. So if I'm right, and I don't think this necessarily will throw the competitive balance, and so it's not necessarily for the quote-unquote good of the league that those nine, I agree with Tom. That would be my speech would be stick strong, hold steadfast in your beliefs. You other guys that aren't doing, these are the models you need to follow. You need to do what they're doing and raise your revenue and compete.
Do what they're doing. Move to a big city.
Well, yeah.
Like
all
the Giants.
All the big ones like Charlotte.
Which happens to be one of the richest cities in the country.
Yeah, right up there with San Diego. They can't make any money.
I don't know that San Diego's rich. I know that
I
Charlotte
know
is huge.
Is.
Go check out La Jolla the next time we go down and play.
There's a difference between a rich guy and a corporation.
There's
I know there's
corporations
rich people
everywhere.
There.
Well, then you cannot argue Atlanta, Andy. Your argument just died right there.
I mean,
there's more businesses in Atlanta.
That's what I said. I said Atlanta's the one place I don't get.
Well, they're 28th. So
and I said that's the one place I don't get.
Maybe because the Georgia Dome
right.
is owned by the Falcons.
Maybe they're in an awful
they don't
stadium
have that
deal.
Revenue. They don't have that revenue. But, you know, if Billy Sullivan or you know, the shaving guy, Norelco,
Kiam
still own this team, the Patriots would be one of those.
They'd
teams.
Be fighting for the other one. Right. So it has nothing to do with market.
It does, though.
It could,
you can't
it has,
earn what
it
isn't
has
there.
It has something to do with it.
It's, that's why I want to know what the markets are.
But I think what kills these nine is there's empirical evidence. It's not we think you could make money. But they actually see these teams not doing
right.
certain things.
Right.
It's empirical evidence. It's not we're guessing you could make more money. We know you could
and
make
more money.
And they're
saying, why aren't you doing
raise
these
your
things.
Ticket prices 5%. You know, name your stadium after something other than your father
mm-hmm.
and collect a few million dollars a mm-hmm. year. You know, these are things you can
Fred,
do.
No doubt in my mind that there are some owners that are skating by. I don't think it's 24 or whatever, 23.
Fred, can't they name it Paul Brown Stadium at Viagra Park or something
like
that?
Yes,
well,
no
that's
question.
That's kind of redundant, but, you know. I get your meaning, you know.
Why are you taking a shot at Paul Brown?
What?
Why is it redundant? Why are you taking a shot at Paul Brown?
Well, didn't he have problems? No. But why would you call?
He's definitely a stiff now.
Paul Brown Stadium at Viagra.
Yeah, that's much more tasteful than my remark.
It's like Mile High Stadium in Invesco.
Right.
Right. Let me tell you, I was worried too.
Invesco Field at Mile High.
Right. At Mile High.
They got to continue to call it.
Right.
Mile High.
Or you know, call the. New club, the Paul Brown right. Club, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason why they had to do that.
You know, Andy's basic premise still holds true to me. And sell everything that you can sell, and then if you're still not competing, then we'll talk about
right.
some sort of subsidy. You know, forget about stadium naming rights, which seems like the biggest no-brainer in the world. I mean, everybody was up in arms 15, 20 years ago when this started. You know, how can you call, you know, the stadium, how can you name it after a corporate? Now no one even thinks about it. Chase Field, I just figured out yesterday when the U.S. played in the World Baseball Classic, I just figured out that's the place that the Diamondbacks play, Chase Field. I didn't realize it was
it
Bank
used
One
to be
Ball
the Bob. It used to be
you know
the
what
Bob.
I mean?
See, that's what bothers me. I don't care that they name them. It bothers me that they change so often because then you never get to know the names.
Who cares?
Is it that important?
It's
that
not.
We do?
It's not.
But
it's just
not
that important.
Me. Yeah. Just bothers me.
Okay? So if you're not doing that in this day and age, then that's ridiculous. But look at all the other things that we have here at Gillette Stadium. And you can make an argument and say, well, you know, they're just out after every last dime or whatever. But the parking lot sections are named, the UBid.com ramps.
They should make of America Plaza.
Fidelity clubhouses.
Right.
And, you know,
no problem with any of that.
That's just what you need to do. And unless you're doing all of that, I don't want to yeah. hear from you.
And wherever it is, San Diego, wherever it turns out to be, maybe their club naming rights is 20% less than what Boston could get.
And that's
what I want
to
know.
But that's right. where it gets to market size.
Yeah.
Right.
This is laziness. This isn't market size.
But that's my point. That's all I want to know. And if they're not doing it, then boom, you're out of revenue sharing.
That's what I'm talking about. The empirical evidence is there that these teams aren't even doing it.
And I don't think that you're giving them an incentive to do it by doing this revenue sharing plan. That it's only encouraged them to continue to not do it.
But
and until Tom gets his wish and all of these, you know, instead of this being the new guard with these, you know, 8 or 9 guys, it becomes the majority of guys. You know, the Rooneys are gone, the Wilsons are gone, the Lamar Hunts are gone, and these new guys come in and take their place with this kind of mindset. I think that the Gang of Nine is going to be out of luck. They're going to sign this thing and get this thing done because they're afraid of the consequences, like Andy talked about, you know, if football shuts down and whatever.
I think
they're
afraid
of that happening and the black mark that would put on the league, and they're going to end up, you know, succumbing to peer pressure,
and
for a lack of a better word.
Things go in cycles. Gillette Stadium's only, 5 years old right now, but 15 years from now, this is going to be a dinosaur.
Right.
And other
right.
people are going to be coming up with new stadiums, and the Patriots are going to go down.
And not only that,
and they won't have 3 Super Bowls they're just coming off of.
Or whatever.
At some
yeah.
point, when you're not winning all the time, you know, are you selling every one of those luxury suites? Are you selling everything?
That's part of it, too. You can't take away the Ford name on the parking lot. You're getting that money because they signed an X-year deal or whatever. They don't buy that ticket every season. They signed a long-term deal.
So when that X-year deal is done, do you get someone to come in and replace it, or do you get them to re-up if you're back down to the Patriots the way they were in 1992?
That's where the stuff comes that you have to. You need to go into that year with a winning season.
Now,
right.
The deal
no pressure,
that
Bill.
They made with PVN for Comcast, now that's part of bringing in money, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So fans that were complaining and crying and saying that Rob, the Crafts were being greedy, that's how they're making money for the football team, is
that's
things
right.
like that.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
Is that football revenue?
It would
is
have
that,
to be.
Is that,
oh, it's gotta
is that
be.
Shared?
It would
take
be.
The football out of it, and it's below, and no one's watching that.
That is just video
but
news.
It's just another,
it's just another
example of how ridiculous it is that you have to share all of that.
Paul, Andy, Fred,
can I interrupt you for a second?
Don't think this has anything to do with that pencil neck geek low.
And you told me a story at the Combine, and I won't mention who it was, and I won't mention the other team, but someone laughed at you and said, quote, "You guys still doing all that ridiculous stuff on the Internet?"
Yeah, but he said it in a
different
way, thinking we should get more money for what we do.
No, right or wrong? All that ridiculous stuff on the Internet. Do you guys still have to do all that stuff?
He meant ridiculous in that
because
we
they're
had
not
to do
doing it.
No, no, no. I think he meant because we had to do it. And that's
why is it ridiculous?
Well, I think the implication was you're a writer. How come they make you do all the other stuff, too?
Because we're making
writers
money.
Writers today don't go on TV and
trying to make money.
Of course they do. Paul does it all the time, and they pay him.
Paul, Andy, Fred, and the sheriff. I completely agree with Paul that low-revenue teams have no excuse for not competing financially with larger market teams. As a practical matter, Andy's position is an analytical nightmare. Any revenue-sharing proposal must be simple and easily verifiable.
Clearly, you didn't go to Harvard. Who's this?
It's a fan from Connecticut. Fans,
he should have gone to Harvard. I would have hired you.
It's probably with the Quinnipiac. He's going to be signed on the bottom NBA guy.
He went to Yale. He went.
Quinnipiac's a joke school.
Fans will pay for a quality product. If you doubt this, then refer to the Patriots' parking fee, which is the price of some admission tickets in other markets. Believe me, I am not complaining, having suffered through the Sullivan regime. In fact, when I buy Patriots memorabilia, I always buy from the Patriots Pro Shop to make sure the Patriots maximize their profitability. I do this willingly because I can see the Crafts make substantial and continuing investments in the team. If I was in Cincinnati, I would begrudge the incompetent Brown and Bidwell $25 to see their teams. I would argue that the abysmal track record is the primary reason for their revenue deficiencies. Imagine being in San Diego and seeing Breeze become a free agent. Each team has a local and national market and can reap revenues nationally. For example, I have purchased jerseys from other teams for my 10-year-old son. The Cowboys, Raiders, and Patriots have established strong national markets due to their continued success and a quality product over the long term. Excuse me. I am a Patriots fan from Connecticut. I drive 2 hours to see the Patriots play. Last year, there were fans from Toronto in the seats in back of us. Why were they in Foxborough and not Buffalo, Detroit, or Pittsburgh? Buffalo should draw off of Rochester, Syracuse, and Toronto. Their market is not as small as it first appears. Pittsburgh's Super Bowl video sales have exceeded the record established by the Patriots. I see lots of people wearing the Steelers Super Bowl apparel in Connecticut. What is Rooney whining about? Well, that's all shared revenue. Anyway. But Arrington is not... Okay, so that's it for that.
Okay. All right.
But just so you know...
Moving on.
That apparel, those videos, that was the NFL video. That's all shared by the team. That doesn't all go to... That's...
Three games to glory shared by the teams?
No. But the Pittsburgh Steelers refuse
to
make
do
their
one.
Own DVD.
The, that's the problem. I want to force them into that.
Another
kind of
perfect
stuff.
Example.
Another example.
If you want to get paid, you got to do this, this,
next year, theoretically, if we win the Super Bowl and you do another Games to Glory production, will that be shared?
You saw the email I showed you from that unnamed person.
I did. But would that be shared, though, next year? If is that football revenue?
It would.
See, I just don't think that that's fair. Because you take the time and the effort to do something, why should you have to share it with everybody?
Let's see. This is about LeVar Arrington. Is not.
Well, see, that one's not really related to my argument that I need a company to buy it. That's just fans.
Arrington is not for the Pats. His production is down over the last 2 years because he cannot freelance in Gibbs systems.
He read that somewhere.
For
That's true. He doesn't know. He doesn't watch the Redskins. I guarantee it.
Four areas of
need. So defensive. Who's this emailer? Because if he comes here, I don't want this guy rooting for Arrington.
It's
if he
Paul
doesn't
from
like
Connecticut.
Okay, Paul from Connecticut. If he comes here, let's see what tune you're saying.
Don't confuse him with Paul from Everett.
Paul, four areas of need this year. Inside linebacker, outside linebacker, a number one cornerback, and a strong safety. A running back, that's five. But anyway, to the main priority of need this year is to split hairs.
No wonder he couldn't do the analysis I wanted.
What position is ultimately drafted in each round will be the best player available across these positions. Too much to get all of these needs covered in the draft. Must fill some holes through free agency.
Yeah, and not Joe Jurevicius.
I have heard about the Richard Marshall rumors, I think, which started probably in Patriots.com. But anyway, and I have seen highlight tapes of him playing.
We did start that.
It's
not a rumor. His agent said that they talked to him and they're very interested at 21.
Right.
Whether that's true or not, it's not a rumor. We got some information. We got facts. We're reporting.
Right.
He's an exciting player. I also like Manny Lawson as a Willie understudy. I predict Willie will be back, Adam as well. There is value in keeping these stars who still have good production.
Yeah, unless, of course, they want money.
I was going to say, unless, of course, they don't.
There's value for the Patriots. Maybe they want money. And they have three Super Bowl rings.
You might change your tune about Pat because his final thing is kudos to the sheriff for his online interviews and draft coverage.
Thank you.
So there you go.
Wow, Andy Hart now. Andy Hart is out.
Go screw yourself, Paul.
He mentions the sheriff.
Paul, you're an idiot.
No, that's a good guy.
No wonder you couldn't figure out math.
We just
things when you said four.
We disagree on Arrington, but I'm in the minority on that. Everybody thinks he's not for the Patriots,
probably
including Andre Tippett.
I didn't say that.
No, Andre Tippett doesn't think so.
Paul.
Oh, really?
So
Paul's
what
dumb?
Does Tip say?
He says he's a freelancer. So I don't know. I just think
if you bring a guy in, you sit him at the table, say, look, we're willing to pay you this, but here's the condition. You're going to do what I say. And you find out right there. And, you know, if the guy...
And he says yes.
And if he says yes and he doesn't do it, you cut him.
And now you've set yourself back a year because you didn't get the linebacker you need to produce in your system.
I'm just saying, they who was the guy, the big lineman that they... Dana Stubblefield, you know? I mean, the guy never did anything. They cut him.
He wasn't expected to really do it. I mean, he was a Jag.
He had his
guy.
Own press
This would be, obviously, Arrington would
hurt.
Be a Belichick call. I mean, if he's a player he thinks that he could use...
And there... And they're going to talk to people at Penn State and people that know him forever and say, you know what, he got a bad rap and I can work with him.
I don't think Joe Gibbs ever said anything really bad about him.
And plus, here, assuming...
He just didn't play him.
No, here, Richard Seymour is the leader of that defense.
Right.
You've got guys on this team that, when LeVar Arrington comes in, he's not going to be the guy.
Right.
And he's going to have to do that. He's going
to be the defensive player of the year, according to
Tom. I said he's finishing the top five.
If he does, what Belichick tells
him to do. So am I to assume Seymour, Vrabel, and Bruschi will also be in the top five?
If he does what Belichick tells him to do, he will be, an all-pro or pro bowler. You know, but, and that's what these other guys, that's where you have...
Next on Kool-Aid Corner.
That's why it's important to have your guys there that in the system, and they can tell, Arrington, look, do what he says. We know it works. You get that peer pressure.
But it doesn't always work.
Not always.
You get it. And again, I agree with Tom. It falls on Bill to make a good read on a guy. He
I wouldn't lump Arrington into like that T.O.
No.
Say, you know, like, oh, he can't, he's not coachable. I haven't seen enough of that.
Kid's coachable.
Speaking of T.O., are you still doing your band? What do you know? Why not T.O. or whatever it is?
He's going to Dallas.
The thing that bumped me off that bandwagon was there's too much interest elsewhere. I thought he was going to be like this guy looking for a job. Everybody wants him.
Oh, so Denver, and Dallas, yeah, who else?
It's
Miami.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
I've heard it's kind of cool in Denver because when John Elway doesn't endorse someone, they take that seriously over there. So,
really?
You know, he's still quite a mouthpiece for the team.
Yeah. Like
and
you.
He came out publicly and said he wanted nothing to do with Terrell Owens.
I'm a mouthpiece
for
the team?
No. John Elway. See, John Elway says something, you listen.
I tell you, I was going to buy a car
does
for him
for
and
him.
Have it shipped out here. Right.
But Elway,
I would tell him to
know,
shut the hell up.
Well, I'm just saying, when Elway talks, people listen.
No, I understand that, but if I'm Pat Bowlen, unless I told Elway to say something, keep your mouth shut.
Listen.
You don't play for me anymore. It's not your team.
This is the way I see it. We all know who has the biggest ego. Bill Parcells. We all know what the biggest stage in the NFL is. Dallas. It's just a perfect fit if Parcells wants him. And you know Jones will be more than willing to take that checkbook out as soon as he can and get that 81 jersey on that pro shop so he can start giving revenue to Bill Bidwell again.
Andy?
Yeah.
Just so you know, Paul in Connecticut. By the way, I went to Bentley on Academic Award Scholarship, have a bachelor's degree from Bentley College, magna cum laude, and have a master's degree in finance from the University of Minnesota.
Thank you. See, the intelligent people.
As I said, you didn't go to Harvard. If you had, you would have been able to get it done.
Don't let them get you down, Paul.
You know, so.
He's a phony.
Paul's a phony.
Well, we're getting to the end of this show. I've got about 5 minutes left.
This is one of my worst ever, by the way.
That's not a bad show.
Because it turned into Business Weekly. And
I know, because it was supposed to be free agency and stuff, and we're still talking about the CBA.
Well, hopefully, next Wednesday, when we come back, we'll be able to do that, because free agency will have opened up on Friday. And
are they really going to be able to do that, too?
What?
I don't know. Like, if they come up with this new deal, there's no technicalities.
You should push it back at least a couple of weeks.
I would think.
Maybe they will.
Give teams, players, agents a chance to see, you know, what is out there, how it's going to work. You know?
Well, I think they know what's – I mean, anyone that was going to be a free agent, they know who they are.
Oh, but is everything going to go unchanged? All the rules are going to
be
identical?
Because the salary cap's going to go up to 102, 105.
No, I know, but are all the other rules going to be identical? They're not changing anything?
No, there'll be some changes.
I want guys to have time to figure stuff out.
I think a lot of it will have to do with drafting guys.
Okay.
There's going to be some changes in after the first round. I don't think you're going to be able to sign a guy to more than a 5-year contract. That's going to be a rule. So there's going to be rules in drafting and things that teams can do.
It depends on the round that you're taking.
Yeah, it depends on the round.
I just feel like you need to give guys, I mean, teams and players, everybody involved, a little bit of a window to really digest whatever they decide on as the CBA.
Right. Well,
if it's affecting the draft, that's not directly related to free agency. But it kind of is. If a team makes a decision, okay, we're going this way in free agency, we're going to go this way in the draft, or vice versa. I want everybody involved, I want to feel like they knew what they were getting into.
Well, then, you know, you'll have the low-revenue teams crying because they can't afford the lawyers to figure out the CBA.
Oh, boy. All you rich elitists.
I'm telling you, if you got brains, you can make out in any system.
I guess.
You know? I'm telling you, some of these guys.
Sure, if Ralph Wilson started selling cocaine in Buffalo, he'd make out.
Some of these guys, believe it or not, Andy, they're not geniuses.
Going into waste management in Greater Buffalo.
You know, Art Rooney won the team in a card game, and he gave it to his son.
I
what makes his son such a great businessman? Because
nothing,
nothing,
absolutely nothing. And if he doesn't reach my number, he gets nothing.
You know, so.
Although Paul can't figure out what that number is, despite his 900 degrees from lower level schools.
Whoa, lower level. Bentley's a very good business school. The University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers.
The high school with a kid who I thought was dumb as rocks, and he got into Bentley.
Bentley's a good school.
Brian Lowe went to Bentley, didn't he?
No,
he went to Brandeis.
What about the Golden Gophers over in Minnesota?
I don't know much about Minnesota academically, but Bentley's a good school.
Either.
You know, for business.
Hey, it's in the Big Ten. It's got to be good.
What, Minnesota?
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know much about them.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Wednesday at noon.